Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 169.
Hey.
Yes, it is time to get to that number again.
Hey, and no one made a sexual reference or joke about that number.
Yet.
No.
We'll get there. My name is Chris Fricchio. I am here with Jeff Chorney.
Hey, what up?
And Travis is not with us today because, you know, he's being a pussy or something. But just in case you guys needed a reason to listen to Gamers Only Older, Mr. Leo Garbajal.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen.
How's it going, buddy?
See.
I like how you almost said Travis isn't with us anymore.
Because Leo killed him.
Yes.
And then he forced us to put him on the show. That's really what happened.
We're actually being held at gunpoint at this very moment. He's got a really big gun. He has a one point on my head from Wisconsin.
All things are possible. It's Pip.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, damn. Well, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Anything going on this week?
Not a whole lot. It's kind of weird because I got used to recording bi-weekly, so it's like I have to record this week and then next week, and I'm going to be totally confused, but that's all right. I can blame you guys.
that's right. True. You can. Most people do anyways, so yeah. You know, it all works out in the end.
It does. That's what matters.
Jeff, what's up with you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing gay. Doing gay. Wow.
Oh, this is new. God. How about something new?
This is Jeff's night of like.
Oh my God! Seriously.
Lips.
Doing okay.
That's two right now. So now we started the show after you came back from your pip.
My pip. Oh shit! No, I'm doing okay. Not much happened this past week, really.
Besides doing gay, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I got MGC tickets.
Oh, damn it. I got to still do that.
Hell I still yeah. have to do that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll do it over the break.
Don't you just have to, like, cross the street, Leo, to get them?
No. Quite.
No, he walks out the door, actually. Crossing the street is too far.
I have to walk at least one block. I mean, come on.
No, okay, yeah, I understand. Yeah. Well, Wisconsin weather and everything, so it's deadly. and nothing exciting, man. Had a good weekend. Work's been work, and that's about it, really. What about you, Chris? Tell us something exciting. Give us something to all be like, man, next week I want to have a story like that to tell.
I don't have anything like that. I'm sorry. I have a kid. I don't do anything anymore.
That's right.
No, but it's, you know, nothing really that big going on. Still, you know, working on Cisco's training so he doesn't eat my kid. and that's pretty much the gist of it. But I'm ready to talk about some games because that's what we're here for.
That is
Leo's
awesome.
Our guest, so he's going to start. Leo, what's distracting you this week?
Well, oddly enough, a bunch of mobile and portable games.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, it is funny. Actually, the biggest on the list is Xenogears, which came out on PSN.
Mm. Ah, yes.
I'd been playing that on my PS2. Actually, a couple weeks before it came out, and then it came out on PSN, and suddenly I had to start over for some reason.
That's a long game, too. How far into it were you?
Currently, I am, I don't know, about 10 hours or so.
About 2 hours of those were gameplay, right?
Yeah. It's not quite as bad as Xenosaga, but the funny thing is that the thing that is mostly annoying me about it is that the scroll speed is so brutally slow, and there's no way to speed it up like games have now where they'll give you the option of having fast or instant, you know, text. Mm-hmm. Not so in this game.
But oh, really?
That's all right. I enjoy it quite a bit. But other than
you have beat it. You have completed it once, though, right?
I've completed it at least three times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I do love this game. Wow. I might have mentioned that on the Goor.
Yeah,
I
you
don't
have,
remember.
But it's.
You didn't mention you completed it three times.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. That's for sure. That's pretty. Like that's long ass, isn't that like a good 40 hours? Like
it is. It's a good 40 hours, especially for me because I like to get all the death blows and stuff. And for Faye, the main character, they don't all unlock until you're like level 80 or something ridiculous.
Okay.
So
that's
I do that end game level grind. It's the only game in which I really enjoy it for some reason. I don't know. But originally I got it because I wanted to play it on my PSP, like all the other, all the Final Fantasy games and stuff. But that's not happening yet because Adam has it. So it's still kind of portable in my mind right now. But that's the one. The other big hitter is Radiant Historia. Got my hands on that. got about maybe 6 hours into
my copy.
Yeah. It's actually, I totally agree with everything that Travis said last week about it. I'm really hoping that it opens up more, because right now it's still pretty linear despite the time mechanic. It's like you go as far as you can in one timeline and then you have to go into the other, and then you go as far as you can in that one and then you go back into the previous one. So I'm hoping that it doesn't remain that way, that it opens up at some point where you have actual alternate storylines entirely. Like you can actually skip certain parts if you wanted to, but nothing that complex so far.
Okay.
But I'm digging it. It's pretty good. The combat is different.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what kind of combat it is, because I haven't actually seen it yet. Is it strategy based, or is it like your typical JRPG based?
It's both. It's a little bit of both. It's typical RPG in that it's turn based, right? It's a lot like Final Fantasy X's turn based, where you can see all the actions in like a stack, you know, on the left hand side of the screen. You can see enemy, friend, etc.
Okay.
But it's a little strategic in that they're with the whole grid thing. So you have to. Most of the characters all have ways to manipulate how the enemy how the enemies are arrayed on the grid, and your main character has the most options. He can move them left, right, forward, even up out of the ground for some, and so you have to kind of try to stack them all in one place and then beat the holy living hell out of them. And the nice thing about it is that some enemies take up more than one grid space. So if you maneuver those guys onto a particular section, then any enemies that he's stacked with will get hit. So you could potentially hit multiple grid squares in one go. So that's the kind of stuff that you have to think about, because they will throw like 8 enemies at you at once.
Now, there's another game that has it's a strategy RPG that has a similar aspect to it. I think it's actually Ark the Lad, but with an enemy that actually takes up two, like multiple grid spaces. Are there attacks that actually attack multiple grid spaces? And if so, do they hit those enemies twice?
No.
Damn.
Some of the characters do have, or at least one character that I know of has an attack that can hit an entire row or an entire column, but it doesn't hit those monsters twice.
Lame. Only.
Yeah, there's some limitations, and they throw curveballs at you. Like there's some enemies that are subterranean, so you cannot move them at all.
Okay.
So you kind of have to plan around that too. So in those terms, it keeps the grind a little less severe, but at the same time, it's not really a grind, because like Chrono Trigger, you can see the enemies on the map. So if you really want to, you can avoid them.
Yeah.
And just get through it.
Yeah. So, it's an optional grind.
Yes, it is optional, but it really doesn't feel like a grind just going through it. And to be honest, you kind of backtrack in the timelines enough that if you get through an area and it seems kind of tough, if you just stick to it, by the time you come back to it, you're good to go. So
okay,
that's
cool.
At 6 hours. So it could get way better, or I don't know. We'll see.
Hopefully I'll be able to talk about it next week too, because my copy should be in the way.
That's awesome, man. I think you'll like it so far anyway.
Cool.
Other things, I played some more Spectral Souls on the phone.
Okay.
Not a whole lot. I just did like one more battle just so that I could mostly could just get a real feel for how it's working.
Okay.
And it's an okay tactical RPG, you know.
You talked about it in detail on your show,
yeah,
on the last episode, I think, and I talked about it a tiny bit last week, and I didn't really get into it nearly as much as you did,
yeah.
But you know, I do kind of like the way the combat works and like how it's got the whole hold and charge system. I think that's kind of cool, but the one thing about the game is that there's like all these like little things that mean nothing that just for some reason bother me, and one of them is like when you're walking around on a map. It, like dust kicks up behind him. It's like, why?
I mean,
it's just like thing. It's not even something that's an issue. It's just like a minor, like preference, like an annoyance, but I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting touches, and it's a really good looking game. So like you said that you didn't know at first that it was a PSP game or PSP port.
No, I didn't.
And I didn't know that either, but once I learned that piece of info, it totally made sense. Because it very much looks like a PSP game. It's just, I don't know, super crisp. And the Droid X screen is pretty much exactly the size of the PSP. So it's pretty, it looks really good on the phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, so far, not completely immersive, but I'll definitely play it, you know, when I don't have anything else going on or if I'm stuck somewhere for 15, 20 minutes.
Waiting in a lobby from Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the one thing that bothers me is that, you know, it's on your phone, but it doesn't really feel like it's made to be on your phone. Because, I mean, it's like, I don't know if there is any of this. I haven't seen it. But there's no mid-battle saving or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you have to complete a battle in order to save the game. And, you know, if you're in the middle of the battle and you have to stop all of a sudden, I mean, you're on your phone. Your phone is for, you know, like time wasters. And this is like a full-fledged, you know, however many hour game that takes up a gig on your freaking memory stick, you know.
But you got to play Pong for the entire download.
That's right. You could play Pong for the entire download. Or you can let it sit there and play it itself.
When I learned that, I was pissed off because I was taking it personally that I couldn't get a damn point on the computer.
Oh, really?
That's neither here nor there.
It's funny because the computer can score against itself.
Yes, it can.
Pretty well, actually.
Very often. I don't know if... did you ever try, like, pressing the home button while you're in a map? Does it... I don't know what it does.
It'll take you home. It'll take you to your home, right. And it'll go back to the game right where you left off when you go back to the game. But
that's something.
But there was one instance where I hit the home button and had to, you know, go do something else. And I tried to come back to the game like an hour and a half later and it was gone. So I don't know if I have if I had an application killer running in the background or what.
Yeah. But, it probably got killed in the background.
Yeah.
But there's just, I don't want to keep talking about this because it's really not worth talking about that much. But it's an interesting port because they put some effort into making it mobile friendly. Like I discovered by accident that when you're in a map, you can touch the screen and kind of do like a page turning motion to turn the map.
Yeah. And you can do up and down to shift it up and down,
which is totally not disclosed to you, by the way. So
it is, yeah. If you go through if you go through the tutorials, which are pretty freaking useless.
Who does tutorials?
Well, it's funny too because I actually did the tutorials just to kind of get an idea of how it worked on the phone, and then as soon as you finish doing that, you get into the game and it goes through everything you just did again.
Yeah. So that was awesome.
It was kind of pointless.
Yeah. Well. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's a couple of things that I've been playing on the phone, but just like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, they're not really.
And we'll probably mention them later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Jeff, what you got, buddy?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Glad you're still there. I beat
Dead Space 2.
Finally.
Cool. And it's just weird because Travis isn't here and he's been riding my shit to hurry up and finish it. And apparently last week, I think I stopped at chapter 12. Chapters 13 to 15, very short. I was like pretty much like 20 minutes or like half an hour away from beating the game. So,
wow.
It's like the chapters start off really long and then they kind of get shorter and shorter. Like my total play time, I think was probably 7.5 hours. I think maybe eight. It definitely seems shorter than the first one to me. I'm pretty sure I beat the first one in like 11 hours or something.
Okay.
10 or 11, but I don't know.
Game like
time,
more or
in
less
terms
than
of real time. I like it better than the first one overall. I still think it starts off really well and ends really well, but just right before the last, I'd say, quarter of the game, it's kind of a little bit slow, at least in my opinion, because the scares, at that point, you kind of expect them. You know when they're coming, and there's not too much in the way of like awesome set pieces to make you go like, oh, wow, this is awesome, or crazy mindfuck, like... things happening, really.
They're not really trying to scare you anymore. They just throw fucking mobs of necromorphs at you.
Exactly. And then you're basically like, oh shit, you know, gotta kill them all. But there is some cool stuff near the end of that game that's pretty disturbing, actually.
And, yeah.
It's good things. Chris, you need to play the first one.
I keep thinking about what I need to go back to, and I think Dead Space is where I need to go first.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Out of all your games in your backlog, I think that should be like priority number one. But then again, I don't know how it'll be because, at least with me anyway, I did like the gameplay, but I don't know if I'd be able to play one and then right away go to two.
Yeah, I don't think that I could have done that either. It's not quite as bad as playing Fallout 3 and then going to New Vegas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's close.
Exactly. It's like, did you do that? Did you play Fallout 3 then go right to Vegas?
No, but I okay. A friend of mine did it, and I'm like, you, sir, are a moron.
Yeah. Because you're going to burn out pretty quick when you do that kind of thing. But in overall, I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'm going to remembering it, if I'm going to remember it when it comes to Game of the Year talk or whatnot. But it was really good. I did enjoy it more than the first one, okay. For sure.
Now, what system did you get it on?
360.
Okay.
What else did I play? Of course, Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Of course.
Actually, Leo and I played it for a bit last night.
Yeah, we did.
I played it for a lot last night, actually. I played a good, like, 3 or 4 hours of it, I think.
I still have yet to play it online.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should get on that.
All the multiplayer I play is local at, like, Jason's house.
Mm-hmm. That's sometimes a better way to do it, because this game, I haven't encountered much lag with it. Like, Jason and I will get... So not lag where everything slows down or gets really choppy. It's more the lines of smooth, and then it'll hiccup for maybe half a second or a second. But in Marvel, that's half a second. If you're in the middle of a combo, it's pretty much bye-bye combo or whatever.
Yeah.
And it gets kind of annoying. And you have that every once in a while with most people I play against, maybe once every few matches. But for some reason, Jason and I, and also Jason, I think, was trying to play a game with Scott, actually, another goer. Scott Sauer, and he's having the same problem. But yeah, other than that, and a couple things I've heard of, some combos don't even work online that work, like, basically locally. So sometimes it's the best way to play it. I mean, it's the preferred way to play fighters. I mean, I don't think anyone would rather play online than
I agree with that.
Right next to them.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and a 1 second interruption in a combo is particularly bad because sometimes it comes down to just two combos, you know, to kill a character.
Yeah.
And
especially
if you screw up the one,
and you're a cheap ass.
Yeah, like, well, there was one match where I think we were down to, like, I was down to my last character, and he dropped a combo at the end, and I was out of meter, but because the combo that he was doing was so devastating, it would have killed me, but it didn't, and it also gave me 2 bars of meter because of all the damage, so I totally destroyed him after that.
Yeah, true story. Mm-hmm. It was, it's the game's weird like that, and I still have problems with it a lot, mainly... Like, I refuse at this point still to say that Sentinel is broken, only because it's still new, and it could be like Sagat. Like, yes, Sagat was overpowered, but if you know how to handle one, it became a little bit easier, and less of a... Like, with Sentinel, I just feel at this point, if you're using... Well, especially the characters I use, which aren't exactly great on health or damage, well, besides Dante, I just feel like I'm kind of trying to chop down, like, an oak tree with, like, a butter knife. And it's like, yeah, sure, it's possible, but it's a lot of work.
Here's the thing.
That's very poetic.
Does Sentinel actually have, like, does his super armor for his launcher, is it actually 8 hits? Because you guys have thrown that number around. Is it actually 8 hits?
Yeah.
That's kind of
ridiculous. Yeah,
that's basically ridiculous.
Well, it doesn't hit you 8 hits. It's like you have to, if you both throw out, like, a move at the same time, but he throws out the launcher, if you don't straight up block it and you're doing a move, basically it's got to make contact with him for like 8 times. Like, even a super, if you're throwing like a
you have to hit him 8 times to get through his armor.
Yeah, exactly, then it finally breaks.
That is ridiculous. I mean, nobody who has had armor like that in any that I can remember any Marvel game.
True, but
even
that's not really his issue though. That's I have no problem with that, because as long as you see the launcher coming and you block it, it's got crazy recovery on it, so you can punish. Like, it's basically 8 on its way out. When it's recovering, it's got recovery time, you can totally punish that. My problem with Sentinel is just the fact that he's very low. Like, you don't have to. Like, hey, Leo and I both use Dante. And Dante's, even bread and butter combos take a lot of button pushes. Like, I think the bread and butter combo we both use is like 14 button hits to complete the entire combo. Sentinel's bread and butter that takes out X-23 for sure and a couple other characters basically down to 0% health is 6. And they're not, like, really quick. They're simple button presses. I think there's 1 motion involved to get the rocket punch out when you knock the guy down. But other than that, that's the thing. So it's like high damage, very low risk is the big issue.
And very easy, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, especially if you kind of know what you're doing. Like, I mean, the new person who's just going to mash it with Sentinel's not going to do that great. But and you put X-Factor on top of that, which that's my number one problem with the game. I think X-Factor should be either removed entirely which they, of course, they'll never do that. They've never ever done a history of like a fighting game. Totally, I don't think remove something, a mechanic, but it's just overpowering. It overpowers someone who's basically losing and got a great character, or it puts someone who is losing with someone who has a great character who's winning at a totally disadvantage and is basically over once that happens.
I agree with that. I mean, when I was playing Jason a while back, he basically broke out She-Hulk and just destroyed me with She-Hulk. Right?
No,
with killed off two of my characters, and I was ready to just let him kill my third so we could start again.
Yeah.
And he told me, he was like, just don't give up. Come on. So no, I turned on X-Factor. I took out two of his characters, and we were on. We were at 1-on-1 by the time it was over, and he still beat me, obviously. But
yeah, but it turns the tide a bit too much.
Yeah, like, it's a little overpowering.
Ultra is something in Street Fighter 4 that was given to a player who is basically getting hit a lot to give them a chance to kind of do some damage to get back into it. But the difference is, an Ultra doesn't sway it that much. Also, if you whiff an Ultra or don't hit it, you are going to get punished. Like, it's downright, like, I mean, if you have, like, multiple meters built up in Marvel vs. Capcom and X Factor, if you miss a hyper, no big deal. Go into another one right away if you got the distance for it. And like a good example, okay, Leo, another character, uses Dormammu. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah,
Dormammu. He's got basically a full screen beam, like fire beam. And if you get locked down from the distance and you just be ripped out like three of those in a row on a character that is blocking an X Factor, that shit still does a lot of chip damage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and it can easily take someone out. But I mean, that is the game, and I guess you gotta have to deal with it. But it is fun though when you get down to it. Like, I mean, you can have games that, like, again, Leo and I had a bunch of matches that, like, just time out, just time runs out, and it'll be one way or the other, or whatnot. And as long as people don't take advantage of the exploits and don't play simply to just dominate and just be obnoxious, then it could be really fun if you're playing with the right people.
This game is, yeah, exactly, if you're playing with the right people. This game is a guarantee. I will never play the online ranked matches ever again on this game. I did it 3 times, and that was all that I needed.
Yeah.
I did get one piece of PSN hate mail, though.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, that was awesome. I was playing, this guy was playing Chun-Li and Ryu and Akuma. So he's spamming lightning kicks on Chun-Li, and then he switches to Ryu and Akuma to spam fireballs at me. Mm-hmm. So I brought out Dormammu, and he just zones the hell out of you know, with the stupid dark voids. So I win, and he sends me a stupid zoning fag, learn to play. I'm like...
That is funny.
Okay.
That's the best people say shit like that.
I think the worst in the zoning is probably Arthur.
Yeah.
As far as I've seen, he can zone pretty damn well with all the shit that he's got.
He can, but again, he's also really low on health, which I don't mind that trade-off.
And he also is very slow. That's it's not even the health thing that bothers me with him. It's like, because his health is, I mean, you say it's very low, but it's still more than, you know.
Well, it's more than X-23 or like Phoenix or someone like that.
Yeah, it's more than, it's pretty average overall, it seems to me. But he is so slow. So slow.
But at least he has a trade-off.
Exactly. That's the thing, is we're getting back to Sentinel. He doesn't seem to have one. Really, for good. Like, people will say, like, well, all these top tier players have no problem against Sentinels or whatever. But also, these are top tier players. They're not your average person who's going to be playing Marvel versus Capcom.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it just takes one person to kind of know how to use Sentinel to just totally dominate with. Like, I've lost majority of my losses online come from someone who doesn't know how to use anyone else, but then they keep Sentinel for last with 4 or 5 meter, and then it's over. I'm just like, fuck my life. But it's, you know, just kind of. And we played the other night and did it like a no Sentinel rule. But of course, Ace is high. Pick Sentinel a lot. But don't worry, Ace is not giving you shit. You didn't know about that rule beforehand. And we're just kind of joking around about it anyway. We'll just humiliate you if you pick Sentinel. But yeah, no, I'm playing a lot. I am enjoying it, though. Quite a bit, actually, outside of those few frustrations that basically make me realize, as well as others, that this isn't going to be the next Street Fighter 4 for us.
Not even close.
Yeah, not even. Like, this is going to be just a kind of happy little distraction, so to speak, until the next iteration of Street Fighter comes out.
Yeah.
But it is fun. Also been playing. Oh, and Crysis 2 for PC. The demo for that came out this week. And, man, that looks way better on PC than on
console. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. I like it. And I actually got up one morning a little bit earlier for work to play a couple rounds of it with randoms. And I haven't done that in a long time for a first-person shooter. A very, very long time. So I think I'll probably pick that up for PC it's a lot of fun. I won't go into detail because, cool. I mean, we talked about it before. It's pretty much the same gameplay as the 360 version. So,
okay.
Speaking of PC demos, Jeff, you said that you were going to try the Dragon Age 2 demo. Did you try that?
Yeah, I did. I did try that this morning, actually, really quickly. I downloaded it last night.
Way better.
Oh, yeah. It is way better. I still have the same kind of problems with, like, how the game looks, not in terms of quality, but how barren it kind of looks, sort of deal. But it's definitely sharper, crisper on PC, and the controls is just way better.
Did you get through it all?
No, I didn't have time to go to work.
The only reason I mention it is because you guys said the same thing last week, and halfway through the demo, it takes you to a different area, and it's completely different. So it's in a city, and the textures are way better. I really hope that it's just the fact that it's the demo, but I totally get that, like, that barren wasteland that you're going through is way too barren.
Yeah.
And the texture, like the floor texture in particular, is just ridiculously low.
Yeah.
And it's way more noticeable on the PC because the character models with anti-aliasing on and stuff.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Exactly. I was going to say the character models look a lot better than on console, especially like if you look at the textures on the armor, especially on the PC versus the consoles, it's not even comparison, but the background stuff, like when they show that one close up shot near the beginning of it's a torch on the wall.
Yeah.
It looks god awful on both, but it definitely got me. If I do get this game, it's definitely gonna be on PC because I liked the control a lot better. It controls more. Like, I like how you can pause it and click on the different characters and actually tell them to do certain things. You don't have to worry about, and you don't have to keep mashing A over and over.
Right. And there's auto attacks. You don't have to mash the hell out of it.
So exactly.
It's much more traditional.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I totally forgot, but thanks for reminding me. Yeah, I did try that out. I got to finish it though. I'm going to try to actually beat the entire demo. I can still only get to like the end of the second section, I think.
Okay.
Like after, but yeah. That's it for me though, man.
That's cool. Well, I don't have that much to add. I'm going to, you know, we played some more Castlevania last night, so we did that up. I broke out Red Dead Redemption again, went back to that for a little bit. It kind of pissed me off, and I stopped playing it for now.
How far did you get, or how far are you?
Well, I'm really not that far. That's the thing. It's like I went on this I grabbed a wanted poster and went after this dude, and, you know, killed the dude. So I'm looting all these bodies, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, four more dudes come after me. Right, so I kill all of them. And then I'm looting their bodies. And then five more dudes come out of nowhere and they kill me. And I'm like, fuck. I mean, is this a normal thing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't do too many of the wanted stuff, but I don't remember that many times when... Usually when you wipe out an area and you start looting, there's usually no one else around.
Exactly. And that's what happened to me. It was completely, like, off
like
the wall.
In the middle of nowhere? Or are you, like, in a town or something?
No, I wasn't in a town or anything. I was, like all the way up base? In, like, the northwest or something like that. And I'm taking
out... Were you at, like, a hideout or something, though?
There wasn't any physical, like, hideout. It was just... you're just out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, really?
You know? I went out and I found the guy. I killed him. Looting their bodies, and then another group of guys comes, and I kill them, and then another group of guys come after that. And it's just like...
That's kind of weird.
That's ridiculous. It's
Was there a chase? Because maybe you, like, ran past them, or...
No.
And they were just catching
up. There was no chase. I showed up. They like, when you do the wanted posters, you know, they give you this is the last known location, right? Mm-hmm. And you go to the last known location, and that's where he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has, like, three or four guys with him. And so I kill all them. And I was all right, well, I guess I'm done. And that's when I just started walking around and looting all the bodies.
It's possible.
You have to loot the one guy's body because that's what proves that you killed him, right?
So did you get him? Because it's possible that he rode away and you
were just
looting. Okay.
Yeah, because it says you have to loot the body, and you go up and loot the body, and it says, now return to this spot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happened. And after I looted his body, I went back and looted his like partner's bodies. And that's when I got attacked the first time. So it's just really weird. And it's like, I mean, I'm not even that far in the game. I'm like maybe three or four missions into the game and this kind of shit happened. And it's like, that's kind of ridiculous. So, I'll go back to it eventually, but I think I'm targeted on Dead Space right now. So. Also been playing some Hardcore Uprising.
Oh, yeah.
I actually
forgot to mention that, too, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I haven't made any progress at all. I'm still on chapter or level 2. But that game is, man, it's... I find if I'm not in the right mood for it, I just can't play it. I basically gave it another attempt and got to the boss again and died with, like, he had one pixel of life left, and so did I. And then he just hit me, and I was dead. I'm like,
that's frustrating. I actually grabbed some of the DLC. I grabbed the samurai dude, which is actually a chick, which I didn't realize until I started like reading the story in between the loading screens, the horrendously long loading screens.
Yeah.
But seriously, she changes this game. Like, it's a completely different game to play when you use this character.
Really?
Because I was like, okay, so she's going to be a samurai. How are they going to work that into a Contra game? And they did. She's a samurai. She walks around with a sword and she slashes shit. And that's it. When you pick up like a spread shot, it just doesn't do anything. You know, she still has her sword and she still slashes shit. Mm-hmm. She has a, if you hold it down, you know how like if you get the fire weapon, you hold it down and if it does like a super shot of it.
Ball, yeah.
Yeah, so she's got the same kind of thing. You hold it down and she slashes and it goes across all the way across the screen.
Oh.
And her shots are incredibly powerful, like to the point where, you know, like the old school buildings that are shooting lasers at you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the first stage.
The first stage, yeah.
If you just go right up to that thing if you literally just kept hitting the attack button, it would shoot that laser, that large beam at the bottom. It would shoot that once, and then it would be dead.
Oh, wow.
It's seriously, she is that powerful. And then with that, she also has, it's like, I don't know if it's like her slash actually like disintegrates some bullets but you don't have to worry about as many. Like the missiles, and you can shoot the missiles, right?
Yeah.
That are coming at you. Yeah. Well, I mean, the slash pretty much just gets rid of them.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, I was talking about it on Twitter with someone. I can't remember who I was talking with, but I think it was Nabashin who mentioned it. And he said, you know, it actually kind of feels like Strider.
Really?
And it kind of does. Now that after he said that, he's like, you know what? It kind of does. So, you've been itching for that.
Oh, like, hell yeah.
That high
def
Strider. Yeah. This is 200 Microsoft points and it literally changes
so that's
this
like, what,
game.
$2 basically.
It's like 250 or something. Yeah. I don't remember how their like space bucks work, but it really does change this game. And you know, you can go through rising mode with her and she's got like all the upgrades that you can do and everything like that, and she doesn't have things like make this gun more powerful when you pick it up. But she has like there's upgrades where you can actually make her sword slash more powerful because it needed to be more powerful.
I'm sure.
Seriously, it she kills pretty much anything in one shot.
And oh, really?
to give you another idea of how little I'm exaggerating about this shit. You know, the boss at the end of the desert, the first stage, that like that robotic worm that comes out of
the
ground
worm thingy, yeah.
So it comes out of the ground, right? And then it launches up in the air and comes down on you and then comes up on the other side?
Yes. Yep.
That's like the first move, the first
main
couple
thing
moves.
That they do. Yeah.
This thing comes up on it when it shows up on your left, it was dead by then.
Really?
Literally, it is that fast to kill shit. It's almost like easy mode, but it's not because you don't necessarily have that good range. Because in order to get the range, you have to charge it. But you know, if you really get used to the idea of letting go charging, I mean, you can really run through it pretty quick. And you know, it's like my first time through, like picking her up and starting on uprising mode and just going. I think I'm actually I'm on stage 5 or 6. Like, just first time picking her up and just going.
But is that more or less because you played so much of the game before that you might have a lot of the level kind of memorized?
I don't have
like,
levels memorized.
I can play through the first chapter now, like, no problem.
Yeah. I don't. It's not necessarily that I have things memorized, but I do know how to handle, like, larger enemies better. So that is definitely part of it. But I guarantee you that if I picked up Bahamut, who I haven't used yet, and tried to do that, there's no way that I would get that.
Okay,
far.
Yeah.
It seriously is partially the character. And you know, you can get all the actions too, so like deflecting bullets and shit like that. So you can get all that also. And she's got all that available for her. So it's...
I did actually want to ask you something about the game. Did you ever upgrade the stuff like the dodge stuff or whatever that stuff is? Like, apparently it's like some dodge move or...
Yeah, the actions.
Are those worth putting points into?
Or? The one that I've used the most is the deflect. Because it is really, really useful. And I mean, cause there's times when they'll like, I can remember, you know, there's like in the jungle level, there's like a chopper that splits into two. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. No. And, it's like got like, you've got the robotic gators on either side and the chopper shows up and it like, it's really easy to at first and then it splits into two.
Oh yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Then it has like the yes. And one of them will dive at you or it has like the hook thing on it and stuff.
Right. And sometimes it'll shoot like a wall of bullets at you. That's really, really hard to dodge. Well, you can just sit on that little island and hit deflect and it'll just knock like three of the bullets away and you're fine.
Oh.
So that deflect move is really, really helpful. All the rest of them I haven't really used and mastered yet. I'm still trying to figure them out. But I mean, I can tell you that the deflect is definitely worth it. So, but yeah, I mean, 200 points and it changes the game, man. It really does. I was surprised. I was very surprised.
200 Microsoft points, huh?
Yeah, it was impressive.
I think I actually tell you, Joe, I think I have right around that left over from whatever I bought last on. Well, probably that game.
I know, just do it later.
I think I might do that.
And yeah, let me know, man, because we can jump on and play some co-op.
Yeah, and I don't think... Yeah, oh, dude, for sure. I have not played that game co-op at all yet, or yet nothing. So
yeah, it's really cool.
Do that for real. That's the kind of game where I have a feeling if I don't do some of it co-op, or at least most of it, I probably won't complete it.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
But awesome.
Let's see, what else? We played IndieStream. We did Pixel Junk Shooter 2. That is a really fun game. Very similar to the first one, but you're like in the digestive tract of this weird creature. So you're like, instead of dealing with just like lava and stuff like that, now there's like stomach acid and all this other weird stuff. And
yeah, awesome shit.
Yeah, but it's really fun. And the co-op worked really, really well. So, there were times when you had to get, you got like a different like ship. So they have like a hungry ship and you go into this like little port, like this little contraption and you come out looking like a different ship. And it basically eats away like parts of the stage. And there were times while we were playing that like while we're in co-op, it's like he would grab that ship and I would stay as the normal ship so I could shoot guys and, you know, keep him protected and stuff like that. So there's a lot of teamwork going on and I really enjoyed that aspect of it. So really good game. It's only $10. And, you know, I loved the first one. So there wasn't any doubt that I wanted the second one too, but, let's see what else. We played Back to the Future. The Telltale adventure game.
What do you think of that?
It's pretty cool. You know, one of the things that, you know, I kind of tweeted about what we did on this stream the next day and Repeat got back to me and he says, the only problem that I have with Back to the Future is that it's kind of easy. For me, I don't care about that mainly because the last adventure game of that type that I played was Space Quest 4.
So oh my God.
It's been a while.
Yeah, so, no kidding. In fact, you stopped about 4 years short of when those games kind of died, if Space Quest 4 was the last one you played.
But yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, because they made other ones after that, but... And I'm not sure why I didn't, like, get back into them, because, I played Heroes Quest, and I played, like, a couple of the King's Quest games, and I even played, like, some of the earlier Leisure Suit Larrys of all games.
Did you play, like, Grim Fandango? Nice. Or...
I didn't play Grim Fandango.
Oh, okay.
It was mainly this like the Sierra stuff. That's where I focused. But so the it was kind of new to me because I'm trying to, you know, get the adventure game feel back, and the PS3 version of and I'm not sure if it's on 360 or not, but the PS3 version at least is very forgiving to that aspect, because in normal circumstances, when you're in like an adventure game, you would like roll over stuff. And when you rolled over it, you would know you can go there and examine it and that kind of thing. In this, you just hit like R and L, R1 and L1, and it just kind of cycles through all the shit that you can examine. So it's really hard to miss something. You just go through everything until you've seen everything.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
I don't either. I can't say that I mind that either.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the patience for that anymore. I think I realized that playing Ghost Trick, like, it's a cool game and stuff, but I don't think I could play those old Sierra games anymore. Like, even when I tried playing Monkey Island, if I got stuck, I'd immediately basically hit the hint button. Be like, all right, tell me what the hell I have to do. And I'd be like, oh, my God, who would think of that? And then, of course, back in the day, you tried everything. So, but now, no.
Now, is this the actual Back to the Future IP, or is it?
Yeah, the actual Back to the Future IP. So it's like the intro to the game.
In fact, Christopher Lloyd does Christopher Lloyd, doesn't he?
I don't think it's Christopher Lloyd.
I thought I read that he actually did Christopher Lloyd, but they got a sound alike to do Marty. Marvel, Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. I'd have to look that up, but I'm not 100% sure. But either way, they both sound really good. You know, and the actual intro to the game is like the mall scene of the original Back to the Future. And it plays out almost exactly the way you would expect it to play out until you get to the point where the DeLorean is supposed to come back with Einstein in it. And then, you know, that's where things start changing. Okay. And that's kind of where the game picks up.
And you can actually do the movie dialogue if you want to, right? For the first couple
of
lines.
It gives you like choices, and you can actually change up the movie dialogue if you want.
Yeah. That's pretty
cool. So it's pretty interesting.
I saw that in something.
But
I have to check that out because I do love those movies quite a bit. Yeah, but at the same time, if it's just a retelling, I don't think I'd be interested.
No, it's not a retelling.
No, it's not.
It's a brand new story. It's a brand new story. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up picking this up because it's like $20 for the entire game, for all the episodes that are going to come out. And I think there's like 5 of them. And there's 2 on PC right now, but only 1 on the PlayStation 3. But I think the PS3 version is like $20 for the season, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, if you pre-order, if you basically buy them ahead of time.
Right.
You're saving quite a bit of money.
So I'm going to look into that because I actually had a really good time playing the game. And it was very nostalgic and funny. And, you know, I just enjoyed the hell out of it. But, I mean, as Repeats said, it probably is pretty easy for people that are seasoned in these types of adventures.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So, did they have a demo of that up on either of them?
You know, I don't know. I can look on Steam and see if they have one.
I heard they're really short, though. They're only like an hour long, aren't they?
I think they're like 2 hours each or something like that. Yeah. But
that's not too bad, actually.
Yeah. But there's apparently like times when you go back to 1955 and you have to avoid running into yourself and stuff like that. So
cool.
You know, cool stuff.
Stealth missions, awesome.
trying to remember what else I played. I played some Alundra. I popped.
Started
playing that on my PSP since I downloaded it recently. I forgot how much I really liked this game. However, I also forgot how bad the controls were back then for these types of games. Because it's kind of like, you know, it's Alundra is a fantastic game, so don't get me wrong. But you know, it's one of those games where if you walk diagonally, your character is still like pointing in one of the 4 main directions, and he just kind of is moving that way. So it's, you know, it's
I don't think I played that. I played Landstalker, though.
If you played Landstalker, you will love Alundra. You will love it. Really? It is very much worth the $6 up on PSN. So, and it was kind of neat to like load the game up and to see the Working Designs logo pop up, and I'm like, oh,
did it make you all happy?
It did. I got tingling inside. It made me happy.
I can't see that logo without thinking of the Lunar remakes for PS1.
Yeah, God, those things were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
I still have that heavy. Oh well, we talked about this before.
I think we did.
I still have that heavy pendant that you could kill somebody with.
Yeah, me too. Mine is
that
still.
Come with,
yeah,
like,
we did talk about this. Yeah, there was all of Working Designs games were special editions, right?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
So, but the one that I think it was Lunar 2 that came with was it Luna's pendant? And it was like super heavy
and heavy as hell. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. More shit has to be like that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, these were like
it's something with weight.
Nobody has made like special editions the way Working Designs used to make special editions. You know, seriously. But yeah, so it was kind of cool to see that. Play some more Phantasy Star Portable 2, and then did a bit of mobile gaming, which we'll talk about. And I think that is about it for me. So I actually charged my DS in like preparation for Historia, and I'm still waiting for it. I'm like,
where did you order from, Amazon?
No, I ended up ordering it for Best Buy because I have gift cards and reward zone points to use.
Okay.
Problem is that, like, you know, last week we were talking about how I went there to get it and they didn't have it.
Yeah.
Well, the coupon that I had expired, which pissed me off. But that's all right, whatever.
Do you have to use the coupon, though, like in an in-store kind
actually,
of
yeah, it was an in-store coupon, which also annoyed the crap out of
me. Because most in-store places will probably still redeem it and take it. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on what it's for, but...
But hopefully I'll be able to talk about that next week. But is about it. So let's get on to some news.
Getting on.
What do we got for news, guys?
Fucked if I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What happened this week?
No, I'm just a guest. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. I have honestly not been keeping up with the news this week at all. It's actually rarity. It's been kind of busy at work lately, so I've actually been having to do work.
Well, GDC is this week, so there's been a lot of little things.
Right. Yes.
A lot of little things have been coming out. Probably one of the most interesting things that happened this week, in my opinion, is that they came out when they were talking about the 3DS. They came out and said that it's going to have Netflix support.
Yes.
And not only that, but they're going to be able to stream 3D movies over Netflix.
That is pretty cool.
Which I thought was pretty damn cool. So if the library of like movies that they have for 3DS available for Netflix is good, I mean, that might be a factor for me to buy this thing, because there's no games that I want on this thing right now.
Yeah.
There's no killer app that makes me want to buy this at this particular point.
Now, have either of you actually seen one of these units?
I did, because they had them available for preview at E3.
How was the 3D for you?
It was hit or miss. In some cases, it was really good, and then in some cases, it looked like it needed some work. Honestly, probably the best implementation of the 3D from what I saw was How to Train Your Dragon. They had like the trailer running in 3D on the 3DS, and it looked really good. So,
but the effect itself, it worked for you? Like the actual... Because I'll tell you what I'm getting at. I had really bad eyesight and I had LASIK done.
Mm-hmm.
And now I notice, like, I've seen some of those laptops with the same kind of technology that the 3DS is supposed to use.
Right.
And all I see is flicker.
That's interesting.
So I wonder if the 3DS would just be totally wasted on me.
It wouldn't be wasted on you because you can turn the 3D off.
Mm-hmm.
But like the 3D effect, you know, if you can't see it on those laptops, it's probably going to be similar. I would wait until you get your hands on like a demo unit or something like that. But in reality, just the implementation from game to game is hit or miss. So, and apparently there's some games that look better if you mess with the slider a little bit and there's like that sweet spot.
Yeah.
But you know, for me, it should be either on or off. I mean, I don't think you shouldn't have to mess with it.
I was totally against getting this day one, but now like GameStop's doing like a bunch of stuff, like trade in your DSi, get a certain amount towards a 3DS, and trade in this many games, get this much more off. And I'm thinking about it now, and I hate myself for it.
Do you have what kind of DS do you have? You have a Lite?
I have a DSi.
Yeah, you do have a DSi? Okay.
Yeah.
I'd trade that shit in for it. But, like, I still have a DS Lite, and I don't want to trade that in, because I like having that GBA slot.
Yeah.
And
we still have another DS Lite. Like, Tanya's got a GS Lite, so I can always use that. So
yeah, we actually have two of them, too. So if I ever decided I wanted one, I could always trade one in.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know.
Damn you, Nintendo!
I have two DSs and three PSPs in my house. What the hell's wrong with me?
What the hell is wrong with you? And you still haven't played Dead Space.
And I still haven't played Dead Space. Let's see what else happened this week. They talked about the new game format for the NGP. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
No, I didn't at all.
No.
Enlighten us.
Basically, they're going to be available in two sizes. Like, this is just for the game card.
For the game?
Yeah. The game cards are going to come in two sizes. And it's either going to be 2 or 4 gigs.
Oh, okay.
And
this isn't something you would choose. It's just the games would either be on the 2 gig or the 4 gig.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
And they confirmed that the extra memory would be, you know, for DLC and save games and stuff like that. That way you didn't have to use the actual system memory for that. So that's pretty cool. That's honestly the most interesting stuff that I've seen. I mean, we could talk about the iPad if you guys want.
No.
I really don't feel like it.
It would fit in with our feature, but we can wait for that. Yeah.
I totally skipped on that stuff on purpose.
I totally missed it. I mean, I didn't care for it anyway, but I can't believe how out of touch I've been with that whole thing. Because that was the day before GDC started, right?
Actually, it was during the it was during Nintendo's conference at GDC.
Oh, what jerks!
Yeah,
yeah, that's a dick move.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Steve Jobs. This is the way I run shit. So, yeah.
Wow.
But that's really all I've got. I didn't see anything amazing at GDC so far. I mean, it's still going on, so who knows what'll happen.
I saw some. There's some cool footage out there, like for Infamous 2 and Battlefield 3. And stuff.
Oh yeah,
like
a lot of the footage that's coming out is really cool.
It's looking really good. They're showing some stuff that like more so like Batman stuff. And
oh, there is one more thing.
What's that?
They talked about.
I got one after this. Sorry.
Okay, cool. They talked about Game Gear games coming to 3DS, and more importantly, TurboGrafx-16 games coming to 3DS. Oh. So I think that shit's pretty cool because I'm a huge Turbo nerd, man. I love that shit.
Going back to the 3DS again, as we're on top, I know we're probably kind of making this a lot longer than it should be, but have they come out and said that there's going to be a virtual console for it? Or no?
Well, I guess that I suppose they have now, because if they say Game Gear and TurboGrafx games are going to come to it, then that's basically, you know...
Yeah,
it's implying.
I couldn't
that
care
they
about
are.
Game Gear really, but
yeah, I don't give a shit about Game Gear, but there are some Game Gear games that I never got a chance.
Oh,
to play.
I had a Game Gear that was awesome, but
I never actually had one, but I know there's a Phantasy Star game on there that I didn't get a chance to play, but I heard it sucked.
Is it really?
So I don't really care.
Yeah,
yeah, there was a Phantasy Star Game Gear game, but I really did hear it was pretty much ass.
Because like I said, if they can get away just to get the Wii Virtual Console on the DS, that would make it day one for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just playing all those old games on there,
especially if you could actually share shit, if you could actually download your stuff to it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So. Is there a PSP Phantasy Star collection at all?
There is a Genesis one. There is a Genesis collection
that has
2, 3, and 4 on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No 1, but 2, 3.
Yeah,
and 4.
There's no one, no part 1, but 2, 3, and 4 on there.
And the only important ones really are 1, 2, and 4. So.
Correct. I have played and beaten them all, so. 3 is just, it's there. I mean, it's
regrettable.
Huh, yeah. It's skippable. It's an interesting concept, but it's skippable. I think they should have called it something besides Phantasy Star. I don't think it really had that. I don't think it needed that name.
No. They should have called it, oh, wow, Phantasy Star 2 sold well. Let's throw it another game out there, slap Phantasy Star on it, and see what happens.
Yeah, because
they weren't even a year apart, I don't think.
That would be interesting to find out if it was a different game and they decide to just slap the name on it.
Well, it's I guess it's just the idea, the concept is completely different from everything that Phantasy Star did beforehand. You know, it's like...
Oh, which makes sense with what Leo says. It could have been a totally different game. They're like, because I know Phantasy Star 2 did sell well, considering it was a Japanese, like a JRPG in America on Genesis. Yep. It's like, oh, it's got it out there.
Let's see.
Well, Microsoft had their thing. Remember last week? They were like, hey, we're having a big announcement. Did we talk about this already?
I don't think we did, but...
I don't think we did either, because it's kind of important.
They're like, oh, here's this big press event we're having.
Yeah, we're going to have this big press event. We're going to have a bunch of like media outlets out here. We're going to announce some cool stuff.
And they didn't announce shit.
They knew. They showed Gears of War 3, which, okay, awesome, cool. Batman Arkham City, not exclusive.
Yeah, they showed a bunch of footage for games that are going to be multi-platform.
And they did show Guns Stringer for Kinect, which, mind you, if I had a Kinect, I'd probably be interested in it. It does look like one of the more interesting games.
Oh, the Twisted Pixel game?
The Twisted Pixel game, yeah. And a Sesame Street game, apparently, that's exclusive for Kinect.
Yay.
Dude, I'm all over that shit.
Sorry. what else did they show? That's pretty much it. And they asked, I know, at least one outlet, I think it was IGN, asked a question, said, hey, you know, are you guys going to have anything announced soon that's not going to be Gears of War 3 or Forza 4? And the guy said, well, yeah, we have more coming up later or whatever. And they said, well, what should people be excited about? And his answer was Star Wars for the Kinect. So it kind of has me a little bit worried. Like, if that's his answer for what's going to, you know, excite gamers for something that you can say.
Yeah, because they showed that, and it's kind of
Well, I mean, that doesn't really count. I mean, the idea is interesting, and the execution might be interesting, but...
I think Star Wars is something that's actually would be more at home on the move. I think that's where it would belong.
Most likely, yeah. Well, in terms of sword fighting and shit like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, in terms of force powers, definitely Kinect, but it's like... Anyway, the fact of the matter is they built up this thing saying, oh, wait for Thursday. Like, everyone expected something new. When in reality, they didn't tell us anything new. Yeah. And then they kind of bullshit answers. They didn't say stuff was coming, like, which I think they should just come out and say, like, hey, if we have something coming, wait till E3. But if you're not going to tell us that shit, we're all going to be thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much...
lame.
And, well, that and who
gives a shit?
Gives a shit.
That is true.
Because I don't think anyone really did. Outside of Gears 4, whatever was at that thing. And
well, I mean, it's
whatever.
Like what I did on
Gears 4,
on GLF. I literally, like, came on there and was like, so did the
what
press
happened?
Event happen?
Yeah.
I mean...
It went out with a whimper. It was like, yeah. Because nothing blew up. They basically just showed stuff that was already announced. And I think the only game that they announced that was not announced before was a Sesame Street game.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody really cared.
Besides Leo...
It's unfortunate that it's such a big deal because it totally justifies everybody's, you know, fear
Connect
of
purchase?
Connect.
Oh, you know, and, oh, dude, for sure.
Yeah. And what it is. It's like,
I really am afraid that this E3 is going to be over Connect.
Yeah, you know, if it's
overblown with Connect and it's not going to be anything for hardcore. It's like, hey, here's Halo. Hey, here's Gears. Connect! And
we'll finally be too connected.
Yeah. hey, Catherine's coming out in the U.S. now. I don't know.
In summer.
Yeah. They announced that it was coming. So I would like to see an American demo so I can figure out.
Did they actually announce it, or are you going by like the GameStop?
No. They actually announced it.
Okay, cool.
Atlas
censored,
actually sent out this. Sent it, of course. They sent out this weird like press release that was like. It was like called, you know, Catherine's not coming to the U.S. release trailer.
But just kidding.
Or something like that.
Edition.
What's that?
But just kidding edition.
Yeah, basically. cool. That's all I've got though. So. All right.
Well, the fact that we're sitting there like, oh yeah, break time is good.
Yeah. Break is good. All right. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about mobile games and whether or not they could take over whether it's possible they could take over the portable space. Then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. And we'll be right back.
Sounds good. It's time to wake up.
This role-playing game, out in 2004, returns to the world of Azeroth, where heroes like Leroy Jenkins do battle. And that would be the world of Warcraft.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because your limited online game time should not be ruined by douchebags.
Release the inner child. Welcome to the Goo is a VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
Buckle up or go for a ride!
I can take you for a ride!
I volunteered for this.
Welcome back.
You welcome back. Someone doesn't want to be taken for a ride.
Today we are talking about mobile gaming and kind of the state that it's in and if it actually has a chance to take position in the portable space and make it so that Nintendo and Sony don't have to make machines anymore.
That is very true.
We got some response from this, mostly voicemails, but we did get one email, so I'm going to let Jeff read that since Travis pussies out on us this week.
All right, this email comes from Sean Recupido, a regular. He says, I'm both for and against games on my phone. I'm personally not a big fan of mobile gaming, to be honest. I'd rather wait until I get home and have a much better experience sitting on my couch with a controller. Personally, I prefer to bring my Kindle and MP3 player when I know I'll have time to kill. That being said, if I was in the market for a new phone, I would get one with gaming functionality because a cell phone is something I will always have on me anyway. Very true. Even if a game sucks, they are cheap, so you don't really have too much to lose. I really have no desire to get either of the new handhelds coming out this year because the last thing I want is another thing in my pocket, and I certainly don't want to carry around a bag. Besides, if I'm out and about, there's usually a reason for it, so I wouldn't be playing many games. Sean Recupido.
Thank you, Sean. Cheap games.
That's the thing, man. That's how they get you. And he's got a good point.
Like, oh, here's this game, and it's 99 cents. Or, or even in the way of Angry Birds. Like, Angry Birds on Android is free. It's like, hey, here's a free game.
Ad-supported.
Yeah, ad-supported. Wouldn't you know I put so much fucking time into that game, man.
I believe it. But he's saying it's funny because he's like, it's not too much to lose. No, good point. But I have probably a good 15 or so games on my iPhone.
That you bought for 99 cents.
That I bought for 99 cents or $2. Not necessarily that they sucked, but I played them once for like 3 minutes. And then it was like, eh, cool.
Yeah. Well, and here's a concrete example. A coworker of mine just got an iPhone 4. Mm-hmm. And so like everybody who gets a new iPhone or smartphone does, they went on an app binge for the first couple days.
Yep.
And one of the things that she got, she's like, I got this thing and you have to try it. I'm like, okay, I'll try it when, you know, on our smoke break or whatever.
Yeah.
So I go down there and she fires up this app and it's, what it is a toilet paper roll and you have to spin it and see how fast you can go through the toilet paper roll.
Are you serious?
I am serious. And this cost her 99 cents.
Dude,
she was completely happy.
God, who buys that kind of shit?
Dude. Okay, I bought, you guys saw the beer app, right? Where it basically looks like your iPhone's a beer and then you tilt it and it goes away and then burps at the end. I bought that for $1 and that was funny. Like literally, it's exactly what you said, Leo. It's when you first get something like this, you buy this shit. Because you want to try it out and you think it's the coolest thing ever. And then after a week, you never touch it again. You're just like, oh, check this out. This is really funny. This is cool. Like my lightsaber app. That was like 99 cents.
Yeah.
It just makes noises and shit, but...
Yours was 99 cents?
Actually, no. I think that one was free, actually.
Okay, I hope so, dude.
I did get a farting one, though, that does a bunch of fart noises. I can't remember if that was free or 99 cents. That one, though, surprisingly or not so surprisingly, is one... that still busts out every once in a while, and especially good to get people at work, like coworkers, because you can set a timer for it and just put your phone near them that they don't know it's there, and you put a timer and just like put your volume up, and it's pretty funny.
There's always room for farts.
Yes.
That's right. I'm looking through my apps right now, and there's not many that I've bought, but
really?
There's like a few games, I bought. Dungeon Defenders, which we've talked about on the show. I bought Galcon, Fruit Ninja, of course,
Fruit Ninja's awesome.
Story and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the apps itself, I mean, there are some useful ones out there that are worth getting. Like, I mean, I would never think of it being something that would be valuable, but, I have a TiVo remote app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So all I have to do is if my wireless is on, my TiVo is hooked up to my wireless, and I can use my phone to control my TiVo.
That is awesome.
And, you know, a lot of people would say, well, why would you do that? Why not just grab the remote? Well, to be honest with you, there are times when, you know, if I have Liam and I can't move because I've got Liam and I don't have the remote next to me, then it's right there.
Maybe I said it's awesome for the wrong reasons. Can you do that if you're away from your TiVo? Like, let's say you're at work and like, oh, crap. I forgot to record the show. Can you bring up that app and then...
You know, I haven't tried that. It would be interesting to try
that. Because that would be awesome. That would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really as... Well, I guess it really depends on, the timing of it all. Because you can program your TiVo via web.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So that's not a big deal. I mean, I can go on and select a program on their website and say, I need to record this
and it'll
send
do
the information to my TiVo.
But the
remote is literally just a remote. It's not, but again, it was only 99 cents. So it's not that big of a deal. So I was like, all right, well, whatever.
But the most important point and the one that he brought up in the email was that the phone out of all the devices that we now have, like laptops, portable game consoles, blah, blah, blah.
Kindle.
The phone is the one that you're almost always guaranteed to have with you.
Have on you.
Very true.
At any given time. In your pocket, in your jacket pocket, on your desk next to you,
more so
whatever.
Than like a PSP, a DS, or anything like that.
Exactly.
I don't know anybody that has a smartphone that doesn't have some sort of like distraction on their smartphone. Like something to like some time waste.
It's called Twitter.
Even if too. Even if it's just like fucking solitaire. I mean, everybody has solitaire on their phone, you know? I mean, if you have a smartphone.
I don't, but...
Plus, I mean, if you're going to the crapper, you don't always think in advance to take your DS with you.
No, but you have your phone in your pocket.
But you have your phone, that's right.
Yeah. Even when I'm all in my going to bed gear and shit, that I pocket's in it, my phone is in there, usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, mine isn't quite as attached to me. Like, as soon as I come in from work...
Mine's an appendage at this point.
As soon as I get home from work, I pretty much take the phone out of my pocket. I set it down on the counter and pretty much just leave it there. So it's always in my pocket when I'm outside of the house.
Yeah.
But inside the house, it's like it's a conscious effort for me to have it with me, because usually I just take my stuff out of my pockets and leave them on the counter.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because for my iPhone, that's the way it was. But with the Gmail integration and all that stuff, on the Android phones, it's always next to me. Even if I'm home, I do take it out of my pocket and stuff, so it'll be like on the arm of the couch or something, but it's always within reach, so
same
I can hear if an email comes through or whatever.
Yeah. Man, those notifications are they get you. It's like, oh, who emailed me? Okay, let's go check.
We have a light. There's light. I have a light. What's in the light?
Spam. Would you like a bigger penis? Fuck, they got me again.
There's an app for that.
Increase your bust size in only 2 weeks.
Sweet. I should. Oh, wait.
Awesome. Right. Do you have a voicemail to follow that up?
Hey, in dudes. This is Outlander 27 or Alex.
What's up?
From Irrational Passions Podcast. I just want to write in or call in about your question of the week. Mobile gaming versus portable gaming, and if I think mobile gaming is going to overtake portables. Unfortunately, I think, it will. But, you know, I just personally, I have a real despise for mobile gaming in comparison to portable gaming, because, you know, I don't think you can get really that kind of experience, like that really full-fledged, fleshed-out, well-designed, mechanical, polished experience on a cell phone. I mean, I think there are scenarios where you can get it, but it's not going to be a full-fledged experience. It'll be something really basic that's been made precisely for, you know, a mobile platform. And, you know, thinking that that mobile games could completely eclipse and replace portable games is just, it's an unfortunate thought, because, you know, with games like, you know, Zelda, portable Zelda games like Minish Cap, for example, and Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker, and Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep out there, you know, all big, full, fleshed out experience that work really well in the handhelds and just play really well. You know, imagine, you know, never having an experience like that again, and just having games like Fruit Ninja or Game Dev Story, and as good as those games may be, whether Chris agrees or not about Fruit Ninja, it's just like you'll never have that kind of in-depth experience that Kingdom Hearts gave me, or that Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker gave me. It's just, you're not going to have really cool mechanics or something, you know, that they're trying to try as on a handheld as opposed to going all out on a console with a, you know, less risk reward opportunity. And a lot of people are saying, you know, I'd rather play those kinds of big games on my consoles, but, you know, I think the end of the line, I think mobile gamers and portable gamers are just kind of getting lazier. They're getting spoiled on these games they can pick up and play in 5 seconds, when really, you know, there are better games that might take a little longer out of their time, and they might have to make more time for it. But I think that it'd be worth it to make that kind of time just for the quality of the experience. But, you know, there are people who should have mobile games, and there are people who should have portable games. But I worry that one is just going to, in size, completely eclipse the other. And then we'll have to say goodbye to our PSPs and 3DSs. So that's just my 2 cents. But have a good show, guys, and peace out.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that.
Indeed.
This is a big thing for me. This is kind of where my direction was going to come from. Is like the experience that you get on a mobile game compared to a portable game of sorts. And, you know, it all boils down to like the limitations of what's available for the mobile space.
What do you think your limitations are? What are your views on the limitations of the mobile stuff, though?
Controls.
Okay, I was going to say, control is the only thing at this point that's holding it back.
And You know, I mean, we've talked about, you know, things like Dungeon Defenders on the show, and it's like the, just the on-screen control pad idea just doesn't work.
No. You know?
It is not something that is desired by anybody. And you can make all the attachments or like suction cup control pad things that you want. It's not gonna it doesn't fix the problem. It might make it better.
No, but one thing he did say, he said would never be as like never be the same as consoles. I wouldn't say never. All it's gonna take is Apple to come out with their next iPhone to have some type of like analog nub and a couple buttons, and then what?
Well, you mean like the Sony PSP phone?
Yeah, we've already seen that technically with the Xperia Play, and that was another thing I was going to bring up because, in all honesty, knowing what I know now, in all honesty, if the Xperia Play was on Sprint and I was in the market for a new phone, you could bet I'd get one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what that is, but is it like
the PSP phone? That's a PSP phone.
Oh, that's the PSP phone. Okay. But realistically, all it would take is someone like Apple to do that, and then all of a sudden things change. Because, well, Apple's Apple. They're like the Nintendo of the mobile world, it seems. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all it takes them to put something like that, some way to control it. Because, like, there's no denying the fact that games like Kingdom Hearts or Peace Walker, any of those games are definitely possible, technically, on mobile phones these days. They can definitely happen. It's just the way you control them is ass compared to what gamers are used to at this point. Like, I don't know if you guys tried Dead Space yet?
No, I haven't.
No.
Now, I haven't yet either, but people are raving about that. And it's an actual Dead Space game, like 3D, third person. Controls aren't terrible. It's all touchpad stuff, but people are enjoying that more than stuff like what was the downloadable one that came out before 2 that apparently was god awful on consoles.
Like Ignition.
Ignition, I think.
That was it.
Yeah, Ignition.
I was going to say Inception. No, that's a movie.
No, Instruction's the good one. Instruction's the one that was like the on-rail shooter.
The, that's the gun. Mm-hmm. That's the light gun game.
Yeah, so it's the Ignition one, which everyone like totally was crap. But this one that came out on iPhone and iPad. Is in terms of like actual like gamers that play video games outside of mobile are really digging it. So if they can get away from that control issue and figure out a way to do that, I don't think that we'll never see the games on mobile be inferior to the games that are on portable consoles like DS or PSP.
Well, and the important thing is how people are considering what people are considering the scope of this question, because to me, if you say, will this generation of mobile games eclipse portables? No, there's no way. But the question was, will it at some point? And I completely agree with you, Jeff, because look at the hell's the name of that game, Chris? Frontier. Spectre, whatever, Souls.
Spectral Souls.
Thank you. I was just talking about it.
Frontier?
Frontier Spectral something. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's a full-fledged game. I mean,
it looks gorgeous. It looks great. It works great. There's a little slowdown in some of the animations, but that's indicative of the port more so than the hardware.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, technically, it's possible. The only limitation is, number one, what he said, that people are still thinking of mobile games as casual, I only have 5 minutes to play this, so this is all that we can make for that. And two, it's the form factor and the hardware. It's not there, because it's until the Xperia Play, nobody really thought to make a device geared towards both. Well, the Engage aside, you know, that was way ahead of its time.
Yeah, a little too far ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, there are places for it, but one of the things that I think is going to hold back that like development is perception from the consumers, because consumers have this perception that games on a phone should cost X amount, and that X amount is like $10.
That's
bucks, true. You know, on the other hand, in the portable space, you expect a greater quality game. And, you know, the expectation is that you're going to pay $30, $40 for it. And I see a lot of balking coming from consumers when a $30 game comes out on Android or iPhone. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have a feeling that that's
other games wanted... that cost that much.
No.
Oh, okay. That's good. What I'm getting I was like,
at.
Wow. Fuck.
That's what I'm getting at. If that yeah. if that does end up happening, I can see there being a lot of resistance. Like, listen, like your reaction right there, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are perfectly willing to pay $30, $40 for a full fledged game on a portable
system.
Hell
yeah.
But on an iPhone?
Well, depends. Like, I think some games definitely kind of valid, but I think the way that mobile games have developed so quickly and evolved so quickly that Sony and Nintendo and other developers that make games for the portable devices should be taking note and being like, you know what? Because a lot of these games that come out for PS, besides the ones that are like the God of Wars and like the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, stuff right. like that, like ones that games, the games that obviously took a lot of like R&D and they put a lot of work into this, definitely are worth more than the $1 games you get on a mobile phone. But there are some games that come out for DS and PSP, mostly remakes or re-releases, mm-hmm. that could easily be released on a mobile phone. Like, you could play Chrono Trigger on a mobile phone, problem.
And that was going to be another thing that I mentioned. It's like, with like Spectral Souls, the reason it works so well on the Android is because it's an RPG and there's no like twitchy action going on. Mm-hmm. But there's no way you could play something like Ninja Gaiden on it. There's no way.
No. Well, the thing is, I think the big... exactly. And I think what Sony and Nintendo need to do at this point, and other, I don't want to say to them, because besides first party, I think other developers, is at least look at the pricing model that mobile phones are doing. It's like, some games are $1, some games are as high as $10. I've seen like $10, or like $5. Right. To have some flexibility. Like, outside of the Square tax games, most PSP games and DS games are all one price. Right. No matter what the game is.
Yeah, DS usually clocks in at like 30, mm-hmm. and then Nintendo branded games are 35, and then the Square tax pushes games to 40.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And then now, like when they first came out, PSP games clocked in at like 50, but now they're in like the 30, 40 range.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and since we're talking about what Nintendo should do, there was there's this article that Iwata had some things to say about mobile gaming in general, and it's actually kind of doomsaying, really. It says, I'm quoting from the article now, which is on Shack News. It said, he pointed out that to phone companies, it is a matter of quantity and that they have no motivation to maintain the quality of video games. And now this is a direct quote from him. He says, the value of video game software does not matter to them. We produce value. We should protect that value. And the general gist of his entire talk was that there's basically what we've been saying, that or what Alex said, actually, that gamers and the companies that have arisen to cover the needs of mobile gaming apps are just shitting these apps out, you know, one after the other, basically spoiled everybody, because now it's just about, you know, getting the next $1 game out so you can make some money on that and then move on to the next one. But from my perspective, there is some truth to that, but this is not what they should be doing. They should be embracing the model and bringing the quality to the mobile space instead of shitting on it because there is no quality there.
It's
totally setting the wrong expectation.
But I think that to an extent they are working on that. You know, I mean, now they have like Sony has the whole thing with what the fuck is it called that we've talked about before, and all of a sudden it's slipping my mind, where they're going to bring games to Android phones.
Xperia Play. The partner, I can't remember. It's slipping my mind.
You know what I'm talking about.
But, yeah, I know exactly what I'm talking
about. So there's that that's going on. You know, minis are out there, and, you know, their prices are getting a little bit more reasonable with the minis. So they are bringing, like, quality games for a lower price. And, you know, the DSi has the, you know, DSiWare going on, and they've been doing that for a while. And whether you think that it's shovelware or not, you know, at least they're trying. And I have a feeling that 3DS is going to see even more of that when we get to that point later this month.
Definitely. When the 3DS, didn't they come out and say that games are going to be more expensive than the DS, which kind of got people kind of up in arms, like, what the hell's going on?
But they're really not, though.
I mean,
basically, the thing is, 3DS game is the same price as a Square game on DS. They're $40 right now.
So it's still technically, when you look at the whole picture, they're increasing their price.
Yeah, average price is higher.
Average price is higher, which we don't know how much extra stuff goes into making the game 3D or not. But I think the big disconnect here comes from console developers and console developers and console consumers versus your typical mobile consumer and developer, because mobile gaming had to start off at some point. They need to get it some hype. The easiest way to do that, release games for cheap. Right. And console gamers, we've gone the opposite way. If you look at Xbox Live and PSN, things started off cheap, and they're now the prices are going up. So, like you said, the whole thing about would you pay $30 for a mobile game? Say, hell no. For a PSN game or an Xbox Live game, probably. And the thing is, these two types of people, like especially like the core gamers, are like, well, fuck this mobile stuff because they're not real games. But we real fuck. I had a point.
I'm basically seeing these real games starting to come. I think
we are, mm-hmm. but they're still pretty cheap on mobile. Right. Whereas Nintendo, like Iwata is saying, like we protect this right to produce quality stuff, and that's not what we base like our price. Our pricing is based on like whatever they wouldn't say. Pricing, like Leo said, but well, that's basically what he's getting at.
He insinuated it. Yeah.
Exactly, insinuated it. And we look at that as being like, hey, well, if we're going to get a game for DS or PSP, we expect to pay $30 to $40. But at the same time, we want to crap on the mobile games that are cheaper, but we're not setting the example of let's not buy these games on these other portable devices, PSP, DS, even downloadable games. What the hell's wrong with me today? Like, because we're still buying it because they know they can get away with it.
Yeah.
And they kind of want to shun out these mobile. But the thing is, they're really catching up really quick, like in terms of downloads. Like, okay, an example of this is the guys who did Super Meat Boy. So what is it called? Meat Productions or something like that?
Team Meat.
They just released a statement, or they had an interview where they're saying how they had complications with Microsoft promotional stuff to do with Super Meat Boy, and their projections for Super Meat Boy were like 10,000 or something like that, like 10,000 units, or that's how much it like sold or something like that. It was like really low compared to the PSP version or the PC version or what have you. But these games that are coming out for the mobile ones that are 99 cents, even ones that aren't that great or ones that are kind of average,
are selling hundreds of thousands.
Mm-hmm, just simply because it's a dollar.
Because they're 99 cents, right.
Exactly. And I don't think it's because – it's not because necessarily – I don't think it's necessarily related to quality. I think it's because of the price point. And for some reason –
that's true. You don't have to look that far. Look at I made a game with zombies in it. Yeah. You've made $300,000 in less than a year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he just made a little you know –
yeah, it's
the song.
He made
song
a song, basically, that you can play along to, and it was awesome. And I think console developers and people are just too afraid of that, and they just do not want to drop the price, because they know that us console gamers and us hardcore gamers will pay that price for something that we want. And the mobile people that are brand new to this stuff, they went into it blind. They don't know how much the game costs. Like, my dad hasn't, like he downloads apps, he's like, hey, I got this for like $3, like, isn't this cool? I'm like, that is a piece of shit. Yeah. But the fact is, that is a $3 piece of shit versus a like $20 piece of shit that a lot of people on Xbox Live and PSN are buying,
mm-hmm.
or DS or PSP.
Yeah,
in some cases, $30 or $40.
I'm with you. I think we agree that there are two things that are holding back the mobile gaming space, and it's like, you know, getting complete games on there for a price that's reasonable for mobile consumers, and mm-hmm. controls. That's the thing. And I honestly, I am hoping that the PSP phone, the Xperia Play, I hope that works. I really do. I want it to succeed, because I think it's a great idea. I mean, there are, like, especially for Android, because I know that iPhone doesn't allow you to like overwrite the keyboard, basically, but there are so many like keyboard replacements on Android so that it's easier to type using the on-screen keyboard that I have a keyboard on my phone and I never use it because I keep using swipe. It's just easier for me. So why not have an Xperia Play that I can open up and start using like actual controls?
Yeah.
You know, I think that is a good idea. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, not obviously not this generation, but maybe the next generation of portables are they just integrate directly into phones, and that's what they are. You know, again, we talked about N-Gage earlier and we laugh about it, but yeah, I think they were just a little too far ahead of themselves.
Their time.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, my overall point was, I think one of the big things that's going to stop portable gaming to stay in the race is us. I think.
Yeah.
Because we're not willing to.
Gamers are going to continue to. Yeah. Gamers to are going to continue to buy these games.
Exactly.
And buy these consoles. Especially because, you know, they keep, like, innovating and adding new stuff. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of things that you can do with the 3DS and the NGP or PSP2 or whatever that right now is just not possible on
the phone
device, right?
For sure, well, definitely.
I can support this point and shit on the PSP at the same time by saying that, you know, people, like Alex said, that he doesn't want to sit on his couch and play a portable device. Well,
true.
That's how I have to play my PSP because the battery cover falls off and the thing doesn't hold a charge and it's just the battery thing just sucks. But so I did sit on my couch for hours playing Persona 3. I'm going to sit on my couch for hours playing Tactics Ogre, playing Valkyria Chronicles 2, Xenogears, all my PSN games. I'm going to sit on my couch. My TV's going to be 5 feet away from or 9 feet away from me. I'm still going to be there playing a portable device.
Yeah.
And that's the same with me, dude. Like, I've told, like, many times, like, most of the time when I'm playing my PSP or DS, I'm not on a subway, on a bus. I'm either at work, bored, or I'm at home. And then and with my consoles, like, literally, like, right there.
I'll be honest with you guys. My portables are getting a lot of work right now because I play them, like whenever I come home and I have Liam. I'll go into the playroom and I'll bring my DS or my PSP with me, and you know I will play.
Is this your playroom or is this Liam's playroom?
Liam's playroom.
Oh, okay. Just want to make that clear.
And there are times when you know Liam and I'll you know play together, and he wants to play with Dad or whatever, and then I'll, you know he's a baby, he's got the attention span of a fly,
or like his father.
Well, yeah, we're like his father. And he goes on and does something by himself. He starts pushing buttons because they make music play and shit like that.
Yeah,
so that gives me an opportunity to
play that stuff.
Play that stuff, yeah. So I have been getting a lot more time with that. And on the other hand, I like the portable systems as well because of the fact that I do have my TV available as well. So it's like I'm the kind of person that I will play a portable game while I'm watching a football game or something like
that. I do that too.
You know, it's convenient.
I can't do that. I don't know why.
I can pay attention to both things at the same time.
And before we go to another voicemail, just relating that back also to Recupido's email, is he doesn't want to carry more than one thing around in his pocket.
Yeah,
and that's another big thing.
Yesterday when I bowl Wednesday nights, and yesterday I had my phone in one pocket and my PSP Go in the other. So, I mean, it's not really that much of an issue because, you know, PSP Go is pretty small. But I'll tell you what, man, that NGP, that is not small.
That's not small at all. It's like the size of my forearm.
Yeah, the thing is bigger than the original PSP. And the biggest thing about it is those analog sticks, they stick up out of the machine. So there needs to be some sort of solution for that.
Dude, you can totally justify a man purse. Just call it a sack. Exactly. You know, no self-respecting guy would walk around without a sack. So
yeah, exactly. That's very true. And it's totally in these
fanny
days.
Pack. I'll just wear a fanny pack.
No, don't do that. That's just retarded.
Is it as retarded as a merce?
A merce? Merces are almost acceptable now, so who knows?
Yeah. It's terrible.
Expensive.
I'll just do what Jason does, and I'll carry around a messenger bag.
Dude, that works.
Yeah.
There you go.
That works for sure.
I do have a messenger bag that I'd never used. So.
Do you have one that has an email in it or a voicemail?
Yeah, let me try that out.
All right.
Hello there. Ron from Computer Beeps Podcast.
Computer
in
Beeps.
In response to your question of the week, I would just like to say that any system that runs on an operating system other than Linux is destined to epically fail. Games on a portable device such as a PSP and Nintendo DS are laughable and insignificant to the concept of homebrew on the GP2X. The GP2X is where it's at. It's literally the party in my pants, but in my hands. What I mean is, there's a party in my hands, in my pants, and it's called the GP2X. Utilizing mobile phones for gaming is a step in the right direction, but until mobile phones scrap a monthly premium as well as prices to purchase games from an app store, they'll fail. The portable market is strictly cut between three crowds: traditional gamers, mobile phone users who play games for 5 minutes at a stretch, and people like me that think they're better by promoting Linux as a end-all degree. Screw people like me right in the ear hole, who are elitist jerks. Right, okay, in all seriousness, guys, I think there's room for both. There's always going to be the division in the market share, but I don't think that means that they can't coexist. I'll see you later.
Thank you, Prime. That's
that
awesome.
That is Prime from awesome. Down to Ford
Down
X.
Down to Ford X. Ford Check X them out X. on VG Evo for sure. They have a fantastic podcast. It's basically like a video game comedy show, and they're fucking hilarious. So definitely check them out. With that, he actually made some points, and you know, I think there is room for both, but I think that the both is going to dwindle off in the distance, because we're going to see portable systems that work as phones, as mm-hmm. opposed to phones that have games.
Well, especially if they run Linux.
Yeah. But he also said that one of the things that he reminded me of is that the DS is like this oddity, because there's so many people that are not gamers that have one, you know, it's almost like those are the types of people that would give up on the portable space and go to the mobile space, because, okay, I have a DS and I play Professor Layton, and that's pretty much it. I actually know someone who's like that, has a DS just for that game. And you know, what's to say that something similar to Professor Layton, like a puzzle game, comes out for a mobile phone, you know, which she already has a phone that she carries around, so why would she need both?
You know? Yeah.
So I can definitely see, like, casual players especially the Nintendo DS space, because that's where there's a lot more casual players in the DS space than the PSP space. But I can definitely see a lot of those people going over to the mobile space and saying, I don't need that portable space anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know where else to go with this. I mean, the biggest thing for me is that, like, one of the things that sparked this is that, you know, Leo and I were talking about Spectral Souls with Scott, and controls was a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is the biggest thing holding back mobile gaming right now, is that there's not a good control scheme for games that are more than like casual, like 5-10 minute at a time things, like Fruit Ninja or Angry Birds or something like that, or yeah. like Air Control, which is something that we mentioned earlier, like off air.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's games like last week I mentioned Pew Pew, and that's one of the ones that we were talking about earlier off air as well. And a dual stick shooter that is on a touchscreen. The game is good, but the controls suck. I mean, I actually handed my phone to Travis and let him play it on Saturday night, and he played literally like 5 seconds in. He said, "I can't do this," and he handed me my phone back.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's accurate, because it just doesn't work.
Yeah, true.
But specifically, it's the fact that you need the tactile feedback, especially for something as hectic as a twin stick shooter, because my problem was that I couldn't control what the ship was doing, because I had to actually look at where my thumb was on the
right.
on the virtual joystick, yeah. you know, whereas with the actual physical thing, you have a frame of reference at all times of where you're moving, and just without that, you can't control such a twitchy game.
Yeah. And there's like, and all those dual stick shooters that actually use control pads have like spring back, so you know where your center is and that kind of mm-hmm. thing. And mm-hmm. that's really the biggest thing about it, is that, you know, when it comes to playing with on-screen controls, I don't necessarily have a center point. I don't have a reference for a center point. And which is another reason I would actually love to try out using that PSP phone, because it's got those two, like that dual analog touch panel thing, mm-hmm. but there's like a center point in there that for reference. And I think yeah. that is a key to making that type of control work. So it's something that I want to try out. I'm not going to say it's going to work, but it definitely is not a replacement for an actual analog stick. But, you know, I think it's an interesting concept.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think if there's anything else we need to cover.
I don't know, really.
All right, well, let's wrap up then. Jeff, what do you think, man?
I think the way things are going now, I think mobile gaming is totally going to basically become number one in regards to anything on the go, for sure. I want to say mobile gaming, like, basically versus portable consoles, like PSP and DS. Because I think all it is that little control scheme away, and I think a lot of gamers are kind of bitter and just not, like, if you take away the 3D moving stuff on mobile mobile games, 2D stuff is very, very, very manageable on a mobile phone. Like I said, you could re-release, like I said, I used the example before, Chrono Trigger was re-released on DS for $30 or $40 or whatever. That could easily be controlled simply by touch mechanics on a mobile phone or mobile anything and still have the same effect. Because basically just touch where you want your character to go, touch the commands, all that kind of stuff, and be $5. And people will, I think, eat that up. And I think until us gamers start literally voting with our wallets and not what we think is the right thing to put money into and stop putting if this game is $20, it must be better than a game that's $1, because that's what I get from a lot of people. I'm like, I've played a lot of $1 games on my iPhone that are better than $20 games I've played on any given system.
I would agree with that.
Until that happens, they stop buying the crap and whatever and stop buying stuff that they are familiar with that are overpriced, then I don't think there's a chance in hell that Nintendo and Sony or these portable devices could possibly stay number one. I really don't.
Okay. Leo, what do you think?
Well, from my perspective, mobile can get there. It can definitely get there, but there's some very large hurdles that it needs to cross. One of the first ones is, you know, perception of what mobile gaming is. The second, obviously, is some manageable way to expose what's available. You know, app stores suck. Across the board, they suck.
Yeah.
And that's not really their fault. It's just that there's so much stuff to track. Like, how do you even filter that?
Of stuff out there, it just floods it.
Yeah.
It's impossible to find anything that's interesting.
Yeah,
I think the answer or the final solution is going to be that the current portable console makers are going to have to adopt phone-like features into their current devices. That would be the first stopgap.
Thank you.
You know, the DS has a stylus, right? Why don't you make a PSP that has a headset that you can store in it, and then I can just whip that headset out when I want to make a phone call.
Dude,
you know,
Leo, you're speaking my mind, because that is exactly when we talked about our prediction thing. I was saying that the PlayStation phone and PSP 2 would be the same thing. That they would connect everything all together, and that would basically done. They hit two birds with one stone. They got the gaming market with having a crazy ass, like, powerful portable gaming system with a phone plan that you can make phone calls with and all.
But there's a caveat there too. I mean, you need a good open operating system, because I also want other things for my mobile device. I want a mail app. I want a good Twitter app.
Yeah.
I want a stopwatch app for when I'm working out eventually. I want my fucking kitchen measurement converter that I bought for $3.
I see exactly what you're saying. Like, all the stuff that, like, makes us get, like, that's the stuff that most people like us download to our phones.
But the thing is, I do use that stuff. Like,
yeah, hell yeah.
You know, especially, I don't know. Anyway, it's not important. The important part is that I have them. Yeah, and I use them, and so in order to make it really mobile gaming and really replace my phone, it has to do
it
that.
It has to have all that.
And the games as well.
Exactly, and I can't see Nintendo or Sony doing that.
Like, unfortunately,
I can see
Sony. I can see Sony doing it, not Nintendo.
Yeah, Sony is already. I mean, they're already. I'm not going to say in bed. I mean, but they've already got some stuff going on with Android. So there's not. It's not very far-fetched that there would be, you know, a future iteration of a PSP system that has Android on it and is a phone. I really think that that's kind of the direction that Sony is going, and they're basically, you know, they're I'm trying to think of the word I'm thinking of right now, and it's they're kind of getting ready for it. And
my thing is why get ready? Do it. It's like, because at this point,
Got burned with the Go.
That is very true. Is.
They got burned with the Go, and the other thing is that they had a concept in their mind already for what the PSP2 should be, mm-hmm. which is this ultra powerful, like,
almost a PS3,
a PS3 type portable system. And that's not something that can feasibly fit into a mobile phone right now.
No, true. Yeah. But it totally goes against everything that's made portable gaming popular in the last, 3 years?
Yeah.
Mobile gaming, I guess. Totally against it.
The PSP phone is what the Go should have been.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would totally. 100% agree with that.
And, I mean, at least, the DS, the 3DS, at least it's got 3D. At least that's something that, okay, you know what? Charge your $40 a game. I can't get 3D on anything else right now, and I don't know. I haven't seen it. Leo, you haven't experienced it yet either. Chris, you have. Say it's kind of hit or miss. I'm not sold on it yet. Like, I really want to see it.
Yeah, definitely check it out first, because ask Jason his opinions of it, and mm-hmm. he's like, it's a great system with the 3D off.
Yeah, exactly.
And seriously, that's the way he feels about it. To me, with the 3D off, it's a PSP with two screens.
Of course.
So, take it for what it's worth. But, definitely, when it comes to the 3DS, I would suggest that people go out and check it out first. Don't just blindly buy this thing because you think it's the next iteration of the DS and it's wonderful. Yeah. You need to see it first and make sure that that you don't go cross-eyed when you're fucking looking at it.
I'm mm-hmm. actually kind of afraid for that.
Right now Nintendo's kind of misleading people about it, because I don't know if you guys saw the 2-minute trailer of all it was people looking at the 3DS and going, "Oh, that's so cool! Oh my god!"
Mm-hmm.
And they make all these gestures and motions where they honestly, if they were looking directly at the screen, they couldn't see anything, because you have to be literally looking at the screen perpendicular to it so that you can see the 3D. Yeah. I mean, if it's off.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. It's a problem more of if it actually does strain your eyes, but
yeah. And that's the thing. It's all about, whether it's, and that's on a per person basis. But, so it's all about whether or not you can see it, and if it doesn't give you a headache or some shit that.
Yeah. Well, my final comes down to PSP and DS lost me. I have not, besides, Ghost Trick, I did not touch my PSP or my DS in over a year. My iPhone, I have played many a game, even though there's only been about 4 of them that have actually been these are really good and have actually had me to play. Like, I played Peggle on the way home from work today, and that came out, 2 years ago?
Something like that.
Something like that on iPhone. And I'm still playing that. I'm like, oh, well, I'm at a podcast to listen to. I'm going to throw up Peggle or whatever. Just play this for a little bit. I wouldn't do that with a PSP game or DS game at this point, mainly because I don't want to carry something extra.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as I like the experience overall better on the portable consoles, it's just not for me at this point. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. For me, I have reason for both. I do some mobile gaming, obviously, from the past couple of weeks that I've been talking about it, but it's not a lot. But it's always when I'm just out and about, doing whatever, going through my normal life. That's where my mobile gaming comes in, because I have my phone with me, no big deal. Mm-hmm. However, when I go on trips, I'm traveling somewhere, I always bring both my portable systems with me. And I usually have one with me, so I'll just bust that out and play that instead. I would much rather play a game on a PSP or a DS than my phone, but if the phone is available to me, then I will play games on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, until they are combined, I don't see one winning over the other, to be honest with you. I think that there is...
Well, actually, there's one thing I do want to ask, because we never really brought up, because Leo said that he does most of his... Well, you said you do most of your portable gaming on the couch, whatever, at home. Mm-hmm. What does he do to battery life? Is there any other reason? Let's just say the battery wasn't an issue. Would you play these games on the road?
I don't have stretches of time where I'm on the road. Okay. I mean, I drive. I'm not going to play a game while I'm driving.
Why and honestly not?
Totally safe. So I'm either at work at a desk.
Does not condone the use of ESP while driving.
So the only time that I might do that is if, like, I'm going to pick up some, I'm going to go get some Chinese food and I'm waiting for my food.
Okay.
You know, that's like the only kind of portable enabled time that I would have.
Now I'm hungry, you asshole.
Well.
God, no, I want Chinese food.
Okay. Chris, you play your DS and PSP, like, whenever you get a chance, right?
Yeah, and I as I
dropping
said,
it's
been a lot long, a lot more lately because of Liam. So, and I don't mind.
But I'm not talking about being at home though. I'm talking about like being by not yourself, commute. Yeah,
I actually the PSP Go is really small, so I don't mind carrying that thing around. So I actually do bring it with me a lot of times.
Not the question is, do you bring it with you? Do you play it?
When you're on the road, like on the go,
I got 50 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. If I think about picking it up and bringing it with me, yeah, I do.
Okay. No, I'm just wondering. I'm just curious because I always bring my portables thinking that, and then I rarely ever actually bust them out and play. Even on like a 3-hour flight, I don't do it. That has nothing to do with portable gaming. That comes down to my fear of flying, and I feel like I should be aware at all times. But
what was that? It's just turbulence, Jeff. You're fine.
All right, cool. So is that...
I think that is that. I don't think... There's not really a conclusion to draw here. I mean, I think...
There really isn't. I really think, though, that the hardcore, like the portable developers need to really kind of look at pricing, especially, and if they don't apply that correctly, I think it's going to be a lot faster that those mobile game developers are right up their butts, like for competition and taking away their market.
And I really think that major developers for portable systems need to examine their price scheming too, because I'll tell you what, man, when you turn around and you pay, you know, when it's either free or you pay 99 cents for something like Angry Birds, and then it shows up on the PSP for $4, there's something wrong.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
There is something wrong.
Because we'll buy it.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's do some new releases.
So the main release for this week is Dragon Age 2 for PS3 and 360. I guess one of the major new features I've added this time is I've upgraded the conversation system to be much more sort of Mass Effect-like, which is quite a nice addition there. Otherwise, it's more or less seems to be fairly similar. Okay, otherwise, we have Torchlight on Xbox Live Arcade, so if you never got around to playing on the PC, here's your chance. And it looks like NIS are bringing Phantom Brave the Humuda Triangle to the PSP. Now, this is a port of a Wii game from a couple of years ago, some additional content, and that Wii game was a port of a PS2 game with additional content, so we have a twice-removed port with content.
With lots of content.
And finally, there's one thing I want to mention, which is an expansion pack, which I don't normally talk about, but this is just too good not to, and that's Ship Simulator Extremes. And what are the most extreme type of ships to simulate? Ferries. Oh, yeah.
That is awesome. Ferries. Oh, yeah. All right. I'm going to try and fill in some gaps. Looks like Homefront's coming out next week. Major League Baseball 2K11 for PS3. PSP is getting...
Oh, wait. Okay, yeah. Get that one. I was just going to say... No, go ahead. Go ahead.
God Eater Burst and Patapon 3 are also hitting for PS3.
Patapon 3?
Yeah.
I have not heard an ounce of this. I didn't even know there's one being made.
Yep.
I bet you it's $30.
No, it'll probably be 20. That's what the first two
were. Okay, well, either way. It should be 5.
Hey, I think Patapon's worth $20, man. That's a good price.
Oh, that's the problem, Chris. If there's any game like that on mobile, it would be like $5 at most.
I am probably part of the problem. let's see. 360 is also getting Major League Baseball 2K11 and Homefront. Is getting... Does anybody really care at this point? Major League Baseball 2K11. And
getting euthanized?
Is getting... Okami? No, sorry, that's next.
No. Time. We fucked that up a couple weeks ago. We were like, that came out. We're like, I'm surprised no one corrected us on that, by the way.
We all thought Okami then came out. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and not a single person was like, actually, no, it didn't. It's not coming out till whatever. I'm like, That one slipped by.
And you know what? The one of the things about Okami then is that
that apparently no one cares.
My attention got drawn to it because Ataru Matsu is in, I don't know if I said that right, but
Marvel vs. Capcom. Well, we'll have this Capcom question revolve regarding that soon.
And it made me want to go back and play Okami.
Okami,
and then
yeah.
I started looking at Okami then, and I was like, man, this game would really benefit from a system that wasn't the DS. Because it is ugly as sin, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's unfortunate. God.
Meh.
Anyway. Pick of the week. What do you got?
I'm going to actually go with Homefront.
Okay.
And the reason isn't because, okay, you know what? This is hard because I've been hearing a lot of people talk about Homefront and it sounds really, really interesting. Like the whole concept of it is pretty damn awesome. And apparently it's very, very disturbing in terms of content, but there hasn't been much talk about gameplay. Apparently it plays like a traditional first-person shooter, which is kind of blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the fact that Dragon Age 2 hasn't totally sold me yet, except for playing a little bit of the PC version this morning, I usually would go, hey, Dragon Age 2, because I love the first one. So this is kind of tough for me, actually. I'm kind of... Leo, what do you say?
Definitely Dragon Age 2 for me, for the PC. I've heard of Homefront, but I'm very resistant to shooters in general.
Yeah,
third-person shooters, so it's not even on my radar, and it probably won't be for a while.
Yeah,
until I hear all you guys talking about it. This story-wise, it sounds amazing, and
yeah, it sounds
that's
really
what
good.
Will draw me to a first-person shooter. Because if you start talking to me about, ooh, the multiplayer is going to be awesome, and you can dual-wield, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, the whole storyline behind it is that this is like the second Revolutionary War or something, right?
Well, it's basically Korea, both Koreas invade the United States.
Gotcha.
And basically totally take it over. And it's crazy. Like, I've seen some videos where they show some really disturbing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for sure. But, I mean, if the gameplay isn't there to at least match, to back it up, then it's kind of, okay, it's basically Resistance.
Well, the writer apparently is the guy that, or one of the guys who wrote Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah,
and Red Dawn apparently.
Oh,
I don't remember that movie.
Yep.
Oh, you know,
which
I
totally
think I
makes
that.
Sense.
That from the writer of Red Dawn, or from a writer of Red Dawn.
And they've been pushing it hard. Microsoft's been definitely pushing this hard, which is kind of weird because it's multi-platform. But
yeah, I've seen a lot of ads that have like that are obvious Microsoft pushing it because it ends with Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's really weird because it's definitely it's same day. It's not even like timed or anything.
Right.
And the thing is, there's no demo. It hasn't really been talked about, like, in the public since probably, like, the past few weeks. On certain podcasts and certain media outlets, like, previews and stuff. Looks kind of cool. But, I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by it. I'm kind of in between on Dragon Age. I don't really know. I still need to catch up and buy fucking Dead Space. Or not Dead Space. Killzone 3 or Bulletstorm. But,
yeah,
we'll make it easy for you, Jeff. Homefront, if you buy it on PC, you're supporting a fellow Canadian developer.
Am I really?
If you buy it on PC?
Only if for PC. It was outsourced to a
Canadian
developer.
Oh, it's
going to
be half-assed for sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? No, I'm not going to do it. I'll buy it on a console.
Man, I love this wasteland, but what the fuck is the moose doing here?
Exactly.
Oh, look, a bag of all-dressed chips.
Why does the voice keep cutting out? Yeah, exactly.
They gave me extra health. That's awesome.
Oh, shit. Chris, what about you, man? What would be your pick of the week if you were to buy something next week?
You know what? If I were to buy something next week, I would probably have to go with the PC version of Dragon Age. Just from after hearing what you guys said and what Jason said.
Yeah, Jason's a big supporter.
I feel a little bit better, but I have to give honorable mention to God Eater Burst because I really want to try it. I don't know. I haven't played it. I know there's a demo for it, and I haven't played that either.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are telling me this is like the happy medium between Monster Hunter and Phantasy Star Portable. So that is
oh,
huge
that's
for me.
Okay, yeah.
That is big for me. So
definitely bait for sure.
Yeah, I want to try it. I'm going to try it. Maybe I'll get the demo next week and I'll give it a shot. We'll see.
Cool.
Very Let's cool. do some emails and voicemails. Jeff, start us out.
Let's start out with some Emails. This one is coming from. Sorry,
this one is Golf. Come.
Coming from, dude. This is not my name.
Awesome show for you, dude.
Yeah,
I know. Really wish I would have had that first thing before the show.
Now I can use it as an excuse because we've been doing this for a little bit, and you know, have a couple wobbly pops, and it happens. But at the beginning, not so much. But at least they're getting tamer as the night goes by, not the other way around. Anyway, this is from Galfridas. He says, "Hi, guys. I have a video game question that I'm hoping you can answer.
We will try.
I recently discovered a game which is very, very cool, but which plays better with a with custom controllers. I'm playing now with my PS3 DualShock, and it's okay, but I can see how using a custom controller would improve the game experience. The game is called Super Street Fighter 4. Have you heard of it?
No.
If so, what arcade stick would you suggest I use? Thanks, Jeff." Which, by the way... G-E-O to the double F.
G-O.
What up? Legendary. You're cool in my books, Galfridas.
I think all of us are going to agree that probably the best thing that you can just go out and buy is one of those
Madcap's TE sticks.
Yeah.
One of those TE sticks.
Definitely.
And then, 100%. And the great thing about those also is that they are easily moddable, so you can actually, like, if you're the kind of person that prefers an octo gate like I do, then you can easily switch that out, and you can also...
If you're weird...
What's that?
Nothing.
No, I'm not. I'm not weird. A lot of people like octobeats. You're just weird.
Weird.
But yeah, so it's... that. I think we'll all agree on that.
Yep.
Yes. So Leo's a fellow big Street Fighter enthusiast, as well as fighting games, and pretty sure he'll agree.
Yeah. You gotta take the T-Stick. It's the most easily available, and it's good quality, too.
It's definitely good quality. Like, I'm looking right now, I have 4 sticks. Both my TEs, played a crap ton. Like, I'm talking, like, at least 100 hours on each of them. At least. Mm-hmm. And, still going strong. The other Mad Cats one, not the TE, the CE ones, that one crapped out on me after a bit. A couple of the buttons are kind of shady. And actually, the Unistick, which, unfortunately... Galfridas, you cannot buy one of those. It's still going strong. That was
well, but even if he does pick up an SE on the cheap, he can always replace the buttons when they crap out.
That is true. That is very, very true. That very easy. Pop in, pop out kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right now, the only stick that I actually own is my Unistick. So
nice.
And because of that, that's the actual reason that I do prefer an octo gate, because I'm used to no gate at all.
Exactly.
And from no gate at all to a square gate sucks. But an octo gate's a little bit easier to deal with, so.
Yeah. I hear you. But definitely, T-Stick, badass.
For sure.
Totally awesome.
Very, very good.
They're hefty, good quality. You drop it, it'll be fine. Good stuff.
Cool. Hey, I got 10 voicemails.
10 voicemails?
Hey, guys.
I was just going to say, it's Fluffy. I just punched a hooker and fucking...
Iron Maiden.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
It was fucking awesome. In there for about 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
Just a drink. Nowhere to go. I am in so much fucking pain right now.
Yeah, I bet. And the show probably hasn't even started.
I was like a fucking champion. I could take down anyone. Take anything that anyone had to throw at me, give it back to them. I can never fall down. I had girls on my shoulders half the night.
Nice.
And I was just smashing into people. It was fucking awesome. I loved it. But I walked out of there, and everything that happened to me, I suddenly felt. And I'm in pain from head to toe. I actually think I'm in doctor kind of pain. I might have to go get an x-ray done. My fucking elbow got cracked or something.
Oh, God.
That's killing me right now. But I'll do that in the morning. Gonna get all work. Fuck it. Do the lunch. Fuck, there was so much more happened that day. I saw fucking all these awesome bands. There was a fucking All Day Festival. I love it. Oh, fuck. I think I'm losing my voice, too. That was a lot of shouting. That was a lot of everything. I'm going to let you go now. You just have a good night. Party on.
That dude. Okay, you know what? Charlie Sheen's got nothing on Fluffy Nuts.
That's right.
Somebody needs to start up FluffyWatch.com or something.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. I gotta say, though, man, if he was in a mosh pit for 2 hours with as much pain as this dude is in, could you imagine the people that were in there with him?
Yeah, they aren't sending voicemails to anyone.
They're dead.
At all. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They ain't woken up right now. Oh, although, man. I am going to say that girl at that bar at MGC last year totally beat his ass in the punching bag competition.
Really?
Strength-wise. Remember that? Oh, Chris wasn't there. Leo, do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I think it was rigged, personally. They had this one of those machines. The first bar we went to before the... it's actually before MGC started. It was the day when everyone set up. We all went to a bar beforehand and came back for the karaoke. And it was one of those bars. They have a couple arcade games and stuff. And they had a punching bag. Basically, you hit it as hard as you could, and it would register what your strength was.
Mm-hmm.
So Fluffy does this thing, almost takes the bag right off the fucking thing. It was insane. And gets whatever. And there's this, like, girl who was there with a couple dudes, like, nothing to do with MG, just there at the bar being like, oh, I can beat this. And she goes up and hits it. Obviously not as hard, but it registers as harder than Fluffy hit it. And it was just really funny, because the rest of the night, Fluffy would not give up. He's like, I'm going to beat this. This is bullshit. Like, I'm going to do this. And he eventually did beat it, but then she went up again and beat him again. So there's something weird. Something weird was going on.
It
was
trick to it or something.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, I'm not sure if someone watches or if it has like a height sensor or something and it wants to give like the shorter person. I don't know what it is, but it was pretty funny. But either way, fuck that. I would be in a mosh pit with Fluffy. There's no fucking way. Don't let his name fucking deceive you guys. Just letting you know.
Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we do another one?
Yeah, sure. We got time.
Hey, guys. It's Scott Sauer calling. I was actually
listening
to your previous episode where you're talking about social gaming and how whether or not it's made you more or less social by playing online and everything. What I'm curious about, though, is to take it a little bit of a step further. And I'm wondering what sort of online gaming has changed the games you might play. A perfect example of that for me would be obviously Street Fighter IV, because I was really not into fighting games all that much, and because there was such a great community and a great group of people of both comparable and better skill to play with, it really got me into that genre. And since I've picked up, you know, Blaze Blue and now Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and even that interestingly funny piece of shit Mortal Kombat versus DC. So I'm curious if you guys have changed any of your games or the style of the games you play because of the online gaming that you started with. So anyways, good show as always. Take it easy, bros. Bye-bye.
Aw, how cute. Leo's co-host called in.
Can't escape that guy.
Guess.
Fucking hate that guy. So any games that you play differently?
There's a reason why Travis wasn't on the show. Actually, it's all making sense to me now.
What do you guys think?
Well, for me, I don't think so. The games that I tend to play online are the games that I already play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I mean, I played Street Fighter IV a little bit more than other fighting games that I played in the past because of the fact that it was online. But other than that, it really wasn't – it didn't change much because I played a lot of fighting games, especially when I was in college. I played a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So it really didn't change much. And, you know, online role-playing, you know, whether it's online or offline, I still played it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've had any kind of new genre pop up into that's something I've played more since it's been online. But – in terms of fighting games, I would not have gotten into Street Fighter IV or any of these fighting games even close to as much as much if I would have if they were not online, because I played Street Fighter, I played Mortal Kombat, I played all that stuff, but the second arcades basically became...
Obsolete,
yeah. When fighting games came out, I still got them, but I did not know how to play them, so to speak. Like, I thought I was good because I was beating all my friends who didn't play, SNK versus Capcom, so to speak. Like, I've never played in the arcade. That came out. And it was online, although it wasn't that great. I bought that. I bought like almost all the 2D fighters, but I never played against anyone besides a computer or my friends who came over. And even now, if I was not playing Street Fighter 4 online with people I knew all the time, there's no freaking way I'd even understand the game as much as I do now,
right.
Or yeah. even close to it. There's no fucking way. Especially, okay, Marvel. Okay, you know, a good example is Marvel's Capcom 2. I bought this when it was on Dreamcast. Like, I picked it up day one when it came out.
Yeah, I have it too.
I had no idea how to play it. Like, I thought I was playing it decently. Like, I would kick all my local friends' ass because they didn't really know what they were doing, but I had a better grasp on basically basic controls of Street Fighter. I didn't even know Aerial Raves and the Magic series and all the stuff that happened in Marvel's Capcom 2 until it was re-released for PSN and Xbox 360 or Xbox Live Arcade. There's no way. So I think it kind of opened my eyes to a broader aspect of fighting games and how to actually play them instead of just after arcades were obsolete anyway. I think it kind of brought me back into it, and I don't know.
I'm with you. I get you.
It made you not suck, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm no longer thinking I'm good, but actually terrible against someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Post Street Fighter 2 in arcades, but yeah, that's the only. Yeah, that's where I'm at with that right there.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's the only real change for me. Okay, one more. Here we go.
Hold on. Oh, no, Leo already answered. Never mind.
It's time for another edition of Random Questions from Aces Hoffman. Yeah.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How much do you hate Sentinel?
I have one question this week, but I'm also trying to write a 5-page paper, basically. Hey, guys. Have you ever fallen out of a chair in public? Later.
Fallen out of a chair in public?
Yes. I can't even say a specific example because it's happened on more than one occasion. I did this at work, like, not even that long ago, because my chair is one of those ones where it swivels, and sometimes when I'm walking to my desk to kind of just, like, sit down, but something will hit it, especially first thing when I walk into work, because I usually have, like, a gym bag or something around me, so I walk to my desk, my chair's there, I'm putting down my bag, not paying attention to what it hits, and it hits my chair on a swivel. I think it's, like, my butt is facing it, and I go to sit down, and I catch like the edge of the hand, like the armrest or something, fall on my ass. Like that literally just happened about 2 weeks ago, and that's the latest one that I can think of. But I have done that, especially in high school, many many times.
I'm sure I have. I just can't think of any.
Yeah, does falling in front of family count as in public?
Yes.
I've done that where I'm like on the dining room chair and I'm leaning back and I lean back too far or something.
You fall backwards.
But, yeah. But I can only think of like once and I was like 16.
You know what's worse than that recently?
My friend of mine, my friend Serena has this crazy chair that like one of these crazy office chairs that's completely broken. And you can literally lay back to the point where you're horizontal and it feels like you're about to flip over. But you don't. So I felt like I was about to I was fearing for my life, but I didn't.
I was going to say, almost worse than falling is almost feeling like you're going to fall and you spaz out. And then it brings the attention all towards you.
Yeah.
This isn't me.
I'm flying your arms around. Like, oh, no. Oh, wait, I'm not going to fall. Never mind.
Did I tell this story? I might have told the story once when he asked a question about pranking somebody about the story in high school when I kicked the chair out from somebody when they were about to sit down.
Maybe.
Just in case I didn't, I'm pretty sure I did, but just in case I didn't, this is in high school, which is like the worst time for something embarrassing to happen to you. There's this one dude in our history class who me and a couple of buddies, like, just, you know, thought was annoying. We, like, picked on him all the time, whatever. We weren't, like, like total jerks, but this guy was just really annoying. So we went to the library one day, and we had to do something to go look for books or whatever, and me and my buddy were done sitting there, and he's like, oh, you know what, Chris, when he comes to sit down, we need to make him fall on his ass. I'm like, okay. And like, how are we going to do this? Like, I got an idea. I'm going to put my head down. When he comes over, just say, hey, Jeff, can you pass me a pen? And what I'll do is I'll kick the chair, because he was sitting, like, right next to me. And we had this whole plan down. Like, all right, let's do this. Okay. And it so happened right beside us was two classes getting a lecture on something in the library. So there's probably about 50 people over to, like, the right of me. And then to the left of me is the guy who we're pulling this prank on. And he comes to sit down, and my buddy goes, "Hey, Jeff." And I got excited, and I kicked the chair anyway, even though it was way too early. And then all I hear is an explosion of laughter. I look over to my left, and I see feet in the air. Totally fell on his ass. But I felt like such an asshole. He stood up, he's like, face is beat red. And I was like, right away, I'm like, oh, that was such a dick move. But everyone was, dude, the entire library, like, saw that. And I was like, it was funny. It was funny. Like, we were all laughing. Except for
that
him.
Guy definitely has a dartboard with your picture on it.
Hey, it matches mine. Oh.
Oh, shit. Luckily, we have actually seen each other randomly at bars here and there, and I'd be like, hey, remember that time? He's like, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, that's a perfect little mobile game. Just call it Chair Kicker.
Chair Kicker. You can charge 99 cents for it and make thousands.
Exactly.
Oh, shit.
Fuck. That is embarrassing, though. Falling out of your chair or some shit in public. It sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Or tripping.
That is all I've got. So I think we've got to do question of the week.
Yeah.
All right. So next week we are going to have the creator of Gemini Rue on the show. Gemini Rue is a, since we were talking about adventure games earlier with Back to the Future and all, this is a an indie game that is an adventure game. You can check it out at Wadget Eye Games. I think I said that right. WADJETEIYE Games.com. It's called Gemini Rue. There's a demo available, and it's pretty damn cool. So check it out. We're going to have him on the show. We're going to talk about adventure games. So if you have any questions for him, send them in. You can send those questions to email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337. And it's likely, but it's not. Yeah, I'll say that. That's fine. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
GEOFF.
And Leo, what's your Twitter?
It's Vassi LC, VASSILC.
And you can also check out Mr. Leo on Gamers Only Older at gamersonlyolder.com. Why don't you pimp your shit? Pimp your shit.
Well, you can find us on Gamers Only.
Hold on a second. Before I said pimp your shit. You just said pimp your shit. Sorry, I had to point that out.
I'm sorry? $5 an hour? I don't know what to tell you. GamersOnlyOlder.com. We post our show notes there, and we release every 2 weeks. Also find us on the VG Evo forums. We've got our own section there, and you can also catch the shows when they go up there.
Definitely.
Thanks for being on the show, buddy.
It was quite a blast, sir. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Actually, we have anything else before we wrap up and get out
of here? I was just going to say, check out MGC is coming up soon. Only in a few weeks. We're going to be actually in Leo's neck of the woods in Milwaukee. We're going to be throwing, I don't know if you're local or not, but you might want to check out VG Evo to check out on details of the convention. We're going to be throwing a Street Fighter IV tournament. A pretty cool prize is going to be up for grabs. So, if you want to check that out. Yes. And other great things, contests, tournaments, great podcasts to check out, and just general good times of the Midwest Gaming Classic.
Absolutely. Also, don't forget about Indus Stream. That is on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Not sure what the games are going to be next week, but we'll have something lined up for you, I'm sure. So check us out. Check us out on there. And yeah, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You guys good?
Good show.
I am good as a pip.
All right. Oh, one day we're going to have to explain that.
Yes. Don't go Giannis just yet, Jeff.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate that as well. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jeff.
And filling in is Leo.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one. Fuck Sentinel.
Fuck Sentinel. Oh, nice.